Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Real Debaters podcast. I'm Michael Petro. Hello, listener. This week on the show, I got an interview for you, part of our special feature series where we go behind the scenes and get whoever's interested in talking to me on this show. This week, I have Aaron Murky and Lauren Cochran, the husband and wife duo. They're actors, they're comedians, and how their careers started and have continued to blossom here in Manitoba. Aaron's time doing sketch comedy, his short film that debuted last year. Lauren's work on the Hallmark Channel and how insanely of a following there can be for Hallmark movies and tons of others. Their trip to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, where Aaron just so happened to run into Phil Tippett. If you know who Phil Tippett is, he's like the most famous stop-motion animation genius on the planet. Lots of other stuff. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. If you're interested in these two make you chuckle, they've both done a debate. Aaron did best heist team inspired by Ocean's 11. You got to build your own team, safecracker, a leader, a wheel man, a grease man, all that stuff. And then Lauren did best theme park, which she built Wayne's World, literally. So go to the website, realdebaters.ca, throw their names in. Lauren Cochran, Aaron Murky, they're in the show notes. You'll be able to listen. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. Housekeeping and events, kids. I got one of them for you. April 27th. You've probably been listening to this for the last few weeks. We will be at Little Brown Jug, 336 William Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, our hometown, from 7 to 9 p.m. We're going to host our very first trivia night. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's interactive trivia. There's going to be some possible impressions, some clips, some songs, some possible dancing, maybe even a sketch or two. We might reenact something for you. Who knows? Anyways, tickets are $5. They're super cheap. We want you to have a good time, and we want you to spend more money on the beer at Little Brown Jug than you do on us. So $5 on Eventbrite right now. Up to 60 people max, kids. Tickets are on Eventbrite, 7 to 9 p.m., April 27th. You should come. FOMO sucks. If you hear about this from somebody that they had a really good time, you're going to be like, man, I should have bought that ticket. Again, Eventbrite, website or app, that's where it is. Search the Real Debaters Trivia Night. So that's all I got for you, kids. We hope you enjoy the interview. I give you Lauren. I give you Aaron. I will cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to The Real Debaters. Hello, listener. I am Michael Petro, and you are listening to a special features. If this is your first episode with us, it's plainly put, this is our interview series. This is where I bug people in Manitoba and Canada, actually anywhere for that matter that speaks English, and I say, come on the show and talk to me about what you do. Talk to me about your department. Talk to me about what it's like behind the scenes. Share your story of how you fucking got into film. And both of these lovely people have been on independently. I finally have figured out a way to get them on the show, which is have them get a babysitter.
My mom.
Yay, mother-in-law.
Yay, mom. We've got Lauren Cochran, and we've got Aaron Murky, the husband and wife comedy duo, acting duo, special effects. Like, you guys, you do a little bit of everything, really.
Yeah, yeah. It's a problem.
You kind of have to, I think.
I think at one point, you could just be in your department, and the way that industry is going, it's like, no, why stay in one area? Why not learn as much as you can?
Yeah.
I think it's still like, I think there's an old school thinking of that. Like, I know.
In certain ways.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Tom Cruise will always jump out of planes and do nothing else.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah,
he's right? Like 95. He'll
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, right.
No, but I know there's some people that think, like, I shouldn't be doing both sides. Like, I shouldn't be behind the camera and in front of the camera. Like, they have an issue with it. I know there's a few people that, like, you shouldn't be acting
well,
and
I think
makeup effects.
Some people think on either side, you're not focusing enough on either side. So maybe
right.
That's
their
issue on it.
Right. Okay.
But you're
so
not,
I know there's yeah. some, because I know they love their craft and everything, but it's like, I don't know. I got ADD. I can do them both fairly well and handle it. I'm okay.
Like, yeah. Don't tell me what I can.
This was
can.
The biggest, like the last project was, the, like Safe Haven was the biggest test of them all.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's start there because sure. That's like I said, what have you guys been up to? And you've been up to so many different things. So basically, listener, we're just going to jump around with all these cool things that they're doing.
Sure.
And it's going to stem into the acting and the behind the scenes stuff. But yeah. Safe Haven, as I mentioned, and listeners somewhat knows, I have a day job that is a vendor to the film industry, which is how I peruse all you fuckers into coming on the show, because I get call lists and I'm like, sure. Okay, then I'm just going to parlay this as much as I can. And I don't even know what it's about. So let's start with what we can say, because it hasn't even aired yet, really. But
it has not.
I love the premise
edit.
Of it. So what is Safe Haven?
Okay. I don't know what I can say. I can say this.
Let's say what's just on what's on IMDb.
Oh, yeah. You say what's on IMDb. You tell me. Okay. I don't even know.
Okay. So please, Safe Haven, what I know, what research I did based off a graphic novel. And it's a high school comic book artist who must uncover the truth behind some of the horrifying versions of their drawings coming to life. Is that essentially what it is?
Yeah. Sounds right.
Absolutely.
Holy fucking on point right off the hop. So you did puppeteering?
I started off by being hired as the makeup effects.
Yes.
On
okay.
the show.
Behind and in front of the camera.
Yeah. So I started off that. And so as I was building, I was also auditioning. So I auditioned, and it was fairly early. But because makeup effects, we have to start so early to get things done. So I was already
you
involved.
You can't just show up and start molding and
right.
Yeah.
So
he
like
he was doing concepts and stuff.
Yeah, doing concept art and like that kind of thing just for the project. So working on that and working on how things are going to look with the art department and with the director and the producer. So we're working on that, and so we're doing that, and then I've auditioned, and on my spare time I auditioned, and we put that on, and then...
Are you still doing taped?
Yeah, that one was at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was at home in the shop, so...
In the dungeon.
In the dungeon, yeah.
Or basements. Basements are where you put the men, right, Lauren?
Yes. Hide them all.
Well, I have a lab, so I have a lab in the basement, but... We have a shop that's a garage, so that's where stinky stuff goes, and that's actually where our audition goes.
Yeah, we have a rule in our house because we have a daughter, no stinky stuff in the basement because it gets in, you know, the airflow.
The daughter's the only stinky thing allowed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
she's grown out of stinky.
She's
grown
out of
stinky.
She's out of the stinky phase, so she's good.
She's good. But that's where the paint booth is and all that stuff is in the garage.
Okay.
Anyway, so one day I'm working on this because there's a lot of, like, I guess I can say it? Can I say it? Yeah, we're going to have to.
Yeah.
There was a there's tendrils in it. There's a tendril. So I'm working on that and building that.
For me and listener, tendril? Or is that like a...
Kind of like a tentacle.
Tentacle kind of thing.
Hente!
Yeah, it's kind
of... Sorry, that's my reference.
No, I get it.
Snake, serpent.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So working on that. That's what we were working on at the time. And then I'm like the director and the producer, James Seal. He was also the director of the second half. Come over and like they want to have a talk with me, and so I'm like, okay. And it's a Sunday too, right?
Yeah.
So there's no, my workers weren't there, it was just me working, and I'm like, because I like the time it takes to get things done is
tentacles.
He was concerned it was gonna be a very serious conversation, so even me and my daughter we went out for the afternoon to be like, I don't know what's going on, but I'll leave.
So I was like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. So they come over and like, hey, do you think you can do both? Do you think you can do acting and do the makeup effects? I'm like, yeah, I've done it before. I didn't tell them I wasn't the lead makeup effects. I wasn't the lead at makeup effects. I was builder.
You say yes, and then you figure
it out
later.
Yes, yeah. So I said yes. I've done it before, which I had. Like I worked on Channel Zero.
Yeah,
I did it where I was like building in the shop, and then I was playing a character, Nathan, on season 3. So I'd done it before, but I hadn't been the guy who was applying the makeup and building the makeup and. So
wearing the makeup
and doing it. So I was like, yes, I can do it. And it's a fairly involved character too. He's one of the main bad guys.
Zelk?
Francis Zelk.
Francis Zelk.
Yeah. So I don't know how much I can tell. I know he's there's two realms, right? So and I don't want to expose any of it.
That's
like,
fine.
I should have really talked to James before I came here. James is the creator of this project and really like fascinating. Awesome dude. Like,
tell me all about it and I can figure this out later for sure.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So what it is there's two realms where is she's been in a coma, and then so one of the realms is I'm her teacher and the other realm is I'm her nurse. So
that's dark.
And I'm creepy. Creepy as fuck.
Yeah, being the reader for his audition was real gross.
I'm a real creeper. I'm a real creepy horror film.
Okay, so as a partner and as a actor, how do you like?
Honestly, most of the time, it does not like. I don't want to be like, I'm fine, nothing grosses me out anymore. But you're
more well adjusted now.
Yeah, like, and Aaron and I both have done characters and lots of different things. So neither one of us, I think, are very phased when the other one's doing something. I don't know.
You're more affected if I have to kiss someone or something like that.
No, you say that, but I'm really not. I just like to say that.
We have to put that on the
record. You don't like watching my reel, though.
Well, who does? does. Like,
there's a kissing scene on my
reel. Dude, I don't
want to
watch
reel.
You kiss somebody.
Come on. You guys should all check it out. It's on my YouTube.
No,
check it
it's
out.
Because this is the thing. I will clarify that. I can see it, but I don't need to watch it on repeat over and over. And that's what I say. I'm good. Like, it looks fine. Why are we watching this? This is weird.
But when you...
It was weird for me because I'm like, I'd never done a kissing scene. Why would you hire me to do a kissing scene before?
It's not on Safe Haven. He's doing a kissing
scene. No, it was a different show. way before.
When you read with him, do you put... Like, do you give it like 60% into the person you're reading for?
Yeah, like,
or
I
are
think...
you really locked in and then it's like a... You guys got to like compress after or decompress?
Like, do you mean like as the reader? Do I give him something? Yeah, like I think every actor kind of wants that to begin with. You don't like.
You need something to bounce.
Well,
off.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than being in an audition room and they're like, "No, please don't go. I miss you." Like you
off
want
the page.
Yeah,
come on.
You want something to react with, but you also don't want someone who's stealing focus in a weird way or being really loud. Like they actually give you notes like that when you're taping an audition. Like make sure the reader isn't like because they're right beside the camera, so they actually have to talk a little quieter. Otherwise, they're so loud and
well. And also having your wife as a built-in reader or vice versa for both of us, it really helps because we workshop it all week long.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's like one session, get it done.
Yeah. You get to take it home and work it at home and work it in the morning. And, and
we work it like
that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like it's not like. A lot of people are like, I go, again. I learn it, I learn it, I go and do the audition, I'm done. For us, it's like we get it, we read it one night, we'll like read it through it, we'll work on it on our own, come together, it's like, can you help me learn the lines? A lot of the times, I learn lines now on my feet, I don't learn them off the page anymore, because that's not how my brain works.
No.
So I have to stand up and learn it, like I have to like repeat.
And I like sometimes... the way his learning style is and mine, like if he has an audition, I'm like, okay, so do I, because it means I have to learn, you know, the ins and outs of the scene to help, you know? And then usually we, each of us, whoever's audition it is, they present what they want. And then we'll be like, okay, do you think I should try anything differently? And they're like, yeah, why don't you try it like this? And then just to play with it a little bit.
Throw things at it. Because if you get too static in your choices, then you suck in the audition. If a director's like,
give it to me this way, give it to me that way. Yeah.
Then you're stuck and you're not going to do it any differently.
No.
So,
and I guess being able to do that with one person in one session, you've committed to whatever role you're going to present the character, where you guys on a Monday, totally different on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Because you can get that's
so you're
dangerous.
You're working it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so
it's pretty tedious and boring.
But yeah, when he was reading for this, it was like there's one of the audition scenes was quite
dark.
Dark, but
it got written out actually.
Yeah, it was like lecherous and like leery kind of, and
yeah,
I don't know if that's the right word, lecherous, absolutely. But yeah, and it and you know he was really into it, but it's just odd sometimes when you're just like, ugh, like just the
who
the,
are you
creepy perv basically, well, like it, lecherous is perv.
Yeah,
like okay,
like right. I wasn't worried like, oh wow, Aaron's really good at being so creepy, I'm worried, but it was more like it's like if you watch it's not even necessarily a horror movie, but if you watch like a psychological or something that kind of makes you feel icky, you don't really watch you shouldn't watch it over and over and over again. And because we worked them so hard, it was kind of like, whew, like it really
comes off the page more.
Yeah. And then when he had, I think it was one of his callbacks, it was a director session on Zoom.
Oh boy.
And they had a reader provided, but he asked if I could be there, and he just kind of said like, Lauren's going to be my reader. And the casting director knew me, so he was fine with that. But and then just
it's better to have a reader in the room. To be
it is.
Honest.
You just have something to bounce off of, like a connection.
I'm not gonna read Zoom with you. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Where are you? Where's my line of sight?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's happened. I mean, we had to do it during the pandemic, like heavy pandemic. So it's a good skill to have, I guess. But
so this guy is a
creeper.
What's it like playing the big bad? Because I know you. I don't know you well, but I know both
of
you.
That's what was nice about going to set was like. Everyone was like, I'm really glad you're playing him. Because they're like, I'm like, do you know Puneet? Have you had Puneet on here?
Not yet.
You should have Puneet. She's lovely.
Yeah.
Standing invite.
Continuity. She's the best.
She is amazing.
Send me your people.
Okay. But Puneet was like, I'm so glad it's you and not someone who's actually, because there are actors.
Well, they have a baseline with you.
Well, yeah. Right. And the actors would feel safer with somebody that they feel safer in real life, so that you can play and explore like the creepiness of the scenes and the characters and know that this isn't someone who could actually harm me off camera, you
and
know?
Then
so
the lead is like a 19-year-old girl and she's lovely, but it's like you have to create a relationship where she doesn't feel creeped out. Anyway,
we have a Georgie Murphy.
Yeah, she's lovely.
And Melissa Marie Elias also Winnipegger too.
Yeah.
and we got Carl Thordeson, who I've seen in other stuff.
Lots of stuff, yeah.
Wonderful guy, too.
And then Bob Fraser, Josh Strait, and Jenny Stewart for pretty much Above the Line.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, also. That's so great.
That's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
Aaron Murky is Francis Zilk.
Oh, there's quite a bit of Manitoba.
There's a lot of
talent.
There's great.
Danica Frederick and Gino. And
Gino's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting to have it pop out. So I'm super stoked.
I don't want to ruin the puppet aspect of it, and so we won't get into too much detail of how it works and what it. But what you and both of you work together in this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's puppeteering like for people who use the dialogue as their main tool?
These were silent puppets, so that was great.
Yeah.
Like, these were more of like the what we talked about.
Like
earlier,
articulating.
Like, is it like a Channel Zero kind of vibe from like the first one with those weird creepy pirates that
Different. More of like what would you do? Trying to think of a movie that would have it, something like it.
The sensation you can imagine is, have you ever been, I think there's movies about it, but you like swimming in the lake and then something touches your foot?
Yes.
That
kind of vibe. Yeah. That kind of fear that it's eliciting that.
And there's multiple ways that this is happening.
You're going to harm children. You can harm so many 16-year-olds.
Yeah. I know. And it's made for
but
kids.
But there's no
right?
lake. I'm not
this
saying
is
it's
made
a
for
lake.
Kids. Yeah. This is a teen show.
It's the feeling that's inspired by
it.
From
yeah.
that. Yeah.
So, so Aaron asked me to be one of the puppeteers because it is an actor job, actually.
Sure.
So
and there's several people that were
in Terry Ray.
Terry Ray and Ryland Gimby.
Yeah.
Who helped put it together, like, because I was so busy. I was like, I needed just someone to come in and like, can you help me just rework the tech of this? And
sure,
like,
yeah.
It was there, but we just need to.
And are we talking like multiple people
like
running multiple?
Levers.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, cable mech.
Wow.
I was so stoked. That was kind of me. I kind of was like, I'm taking this on. So I put a little bit of my own cash towards
Zhuzh.
It. Yeah. Because I was like, you know what? This is where I want to go. This is where I want my business to go. AA Labs Makeup Effects. Yep. So this is where I want my business to go. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put some money into the tech of this and making like a full
articulated. You can do it on repeat.
Cable mech.
Is that Chucky's method too? Like
I think with horror
dolls.
And puppeteering, there's so many different variations and so many different puppets you need, right? Mm-hmm. So like for ours, Lauren did a lot of silicone based puppets and like did wraps and like
And some of them were like we would shoot them
the reverse.
They would shoot the reverse. So. And then we would use different tech because he'd make different ones in different textures and weights. And some of them, some of them were like almost like stretchy. And then some of them were more thicker and kind of more solid. And
could take a beating.
A rubber club almost in a way.
Someone a beating.
Some of them had some weight to them. So, but a couple of times.
I think we had like 10 variations, approximately like seven variations of. Those kind of puppets.
Well, and the resurgence of that part of filmmaking, like stop motion, is now getting
and practical.
Practical,
and doing it practically.
Yeah.
Is there's ones I can't talk about it. We'll have to talk about it when I come back. When it comes out.
This is some juicy bits of what's coming down the line for you guys.
Because I'm so stoked how it turned out. Like, there's some things that we had to like a lot of research and development on it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, and so there's things like. I just have to have a shout out to Crazy Bins. Like, I'm just saying.
The unofficial
sponsor
of Safe
Haven. Oh, man. Because I live real close to Crazy Bins, so I would go there and be like, okay. And I'd take one of one of the workers in the shop and like, let's go to Crazy Bins
and
see what we can find.
And our daughter's wagon.
And we just go to Crazy Bins and literally like.
That's amazing.
Some of the effects, I bought something and I was like, I can use this. This is it. This is what we're going to use.
No.
And it was like, oh my, Crazy
amazing.
Bins.
When you have them back after it airs, you have to talk about that because it's so cool.
Yeah,
for
it's
sure.
It's pretty crazy.
I'm excited for it. Like, I got I didn't even really bug anybody on this one. I was like, sounds like a horror. Mm-hmm. And like horror adjacent, mm-hmm. just a huge fucking thing.
Sci-fi
right now.
Horror.
It's making its way back. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you see big studios like Disney doing Practical and Mandalorian, right? The Rancor effect.
Oh, dude.
Right?
Dude.
You just, your eye just went, that's Practical, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And there's, it's like vinyl, right? It's coming back. It's making a resurgence. Pinocchio with Del Toro on Netflix.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful, and he's got another stop motion that they just contracted him for Netflix. Like, it's a new old style of animation.
Absolutely. Well, I just think it just lends itself to it. Like, I love special effects like like computer graphics, like CGI. I do love it. Like, there's a place for it. I don't like the 90s version of it.
The first version of everything sucks.
Like, yeah. Anaconda, get out of here. Yeah. Like, get lost. But, like...
Well, also watching actors when, like, practical things on set, and they're like, oh, like, you can see the light in their eyes just be like, okay, well, this is going to make my job so much more fun. And actually... in my opinion, easier because you have something to actually react off of.
My favorite is when they dress up some dude in some like just a unitard and like, okay, so this is what you're seeing. And he's holding like sticks and they're like, that's the scenes I want to see. Yeah. Like, that's really what I want to see, especially
the
in the '90s. Like, people with tennis balls on sticks. And,
here comes the giant snake.
Yeah, man. Love it.
Okay, let's jump to you for a second, Lauren, here. Okay. Acting good, I've watched the first few episodes of. It's so endearing.
It's the sweetest, yeah.
How much fun was making that?
It was really fun. For me, it was interesting because I think I was on day one.
You were the first day of production.
Yeah, first day of production or first day of the block. I can't remember. But
oh, so everybody's getting it all out and getting to know each other.
Yeah, it was really exciting. And like, I play Heather, a.k.a. Prank Wife. And she's terrible.
Tell me more.
She's terrible. She's a horrible human being in the best way. And she's Brady. I don't want to give spoilers away. It's already been out, so I don't think
you're
ruining
fine.
Anything. Spoiler alert if you haven't watched it, but here you go. But Brady, so Pat Thornton's character, I play his wife that he's left because he lives up in this remote. He's like the only white guy in this community, and he lives in this remote area. And so one day he's like kind of like sleep talking, and you're asking him all these questions, and you find out that he's left a very abusive marriage and he has a wife who is a YouTuber, and her whole channel is about pranking her husband in like horrible ways. Like,
amazing.
And every one of them is when he's in the shower. To my knowledge, the four I saw were all in it. And
God.
So the first day it was just me and they didn't have Pat there that day yet, actually. And so it was
because he had COVID or something? Or
no,
was...
I don't know if he did. I can't remember, but just schedule wise. And they didn't really need him because it's all audio reaction for them anyway.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, the director, I had Michael Gray Eyes, and he's unbelievable. And he's fantastic. And
he lets you play.
Yeah, and like, you know, you want to keep close to, because it's very funny. It was very, very funny already. So you don't, like, especially when you do comedy, you don't want to, you know, play around with it too much because it's like you don't need to and you shouldn't need to. But I also love it when they're like, okay, we got it. Now
one more your
way. Try a little bit this way. And so, you know, there's one where I'm throwing a chair into the bathroom and like just and I wish that they could film it from my perspective, because it's like the camera's in the bathroom and then director's behind them, and then there's Gavin who's like there to like catch this chair, and I just have to like wind up, and they're like, really, just like take a couple swings at it and throw a chair in. And then there's one where I throw like a live ferret in the shower with him. It's not a real ferret. There's no actual animal harmed on the making of this.
Calm down, Petta.
Yeah,
what,
it's okay.
What episode is it?
I believe it's four.
Yeah.
I've done the first three.
Yeah, so I'm the next one.
Okay.
And so it's all, you just find out she's just a terrible, like, and then she, like, apologizes and said, okay, look, my marriage matters to me. I got to stop pranking my husband. And it's, like, really sentimental. It's like,
I love that the abuse comes in the form of ferret bombing.
Yeah, like ferret, hot coffee, a chair. Yeah, a few things, but it's just...
And
it
is he
just,
like a nice, sweet guy?
Yeah.
And he's
being
fucked with by this...
Yeah, like he's like, yeah, they're down. Like he's just like, please, you promise. Like, so it's fun. Like it's just...
Did you throw coffee at him when you were reading for this at all?
No,
you didn't.
But she's always going, pink wave, like with the the devil. And like there's like,
total,
like you just expect to be like, pwing, 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 like every time she, like with like flames on her YouTube channel probably. So she's, but she dresses very like suburban mom. So it's a really funny contrast.
Yeah. Not soccer mom fucking shit up. Nobody thinks that.
No. Like she looks like she would be, you know, somewhat upstanding.
PTA.
Yeah.
Someone you just see at the mall.
Yeah.
You know, some lady
like
at the
maybe,
mall.
Like maybe works at Reitman's. You know?
Okay.
Like that kind of
all right.
Thing. Definitely shops there. Definitely shops there.
Power suits. Lots of power suits.
A lot of...
She's above Northern Reflections.
Yeah, a little bit above. Not quite Ricky's.
Hey, man, they're still hanging on.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, people still want loons on their
man.
Shit.
Yeah. Well, they're in the right area.
They are.
Heaven's right waiting room.
Yeah. Heaven's Park Mall. Waiting room.
Yeah.
That's not mine. That's Jeff McHenry.
Jeff McHenry had a good joke about that.
I've had a couple interactions with Paul. And
he's the loveliest. He's so funny.
He's just a huge...
And he was so excited. And that was what's really nice, is being there on the first day, is seeing everyone just being like just... ready to play and just get going on it. So, I mean, I can't tell you much more because I wasn't there for the rest
of it. Yeah, yeah.
But,
no.
I mean, day one was great.
Yeah.
and yeah, a lot of people really, really identified with the show and resonated with it. So it's really nice. I hope it comes back. I heard rumors that it is, but I don't know.
There's so much comedy Darcy Waite has done the show.
Okay.
And I've been exposed to stuff that I would never think would have humor in it because maybe I felt bad to laugh at it.
Right.
And then you see, no, we're just doing the same thing that everybody does, poking fun at ourselves, poking fun at our culture and making you laugh along with us. And you're just like, fuck, this is it really hits home.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's a Manitoba story. So it's so nice that it's like.
That we're the backdrop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we don't get that. Like, I think Ice Road, we were the backdrop, maybe. They mentioned Winnipeg once in
that
film.
Oh, did they? Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
Yeah. They were like, but then they were like, Winnipeg, 4 hours north of Winnipeg. And I was like, no, they're way norther, guys. Mm-hmm. Like, come on now.
It's like 4 hours until you have to get gas again, and then they got to drive another. Yeah.
So comedy with acting good. Then Hallmark, you do a lot of the Hallmark stuff, and I've never had a chance to really talk about Hallmark with anybody. And I mentioned that, like, and it's like we're the mecca for it, right?
Yeah,
like, they love filming here. We look good on camera.
There's always snow.
There's always snow, right?
Well, they can shoot real snow like 6 months of the year, pretty much. If you think about it,
you can pack them in 30 days.
Yeah,
right.
Less and
15,
really.
15. Sometimes.
A lot of them are less than 20.
Does it ruin it for you when you're doing a Christmas film in July and then Christmas rolls around, 6 months later, and you're like, I've been here, done that. Like,
I mean, it didn't this year. Like, I was in, we shot in, I think it was, July, June.
After Christmas.
Yeah. I think it's more crew that gets stunted by the Christmas every day of the year for their life.
Suck. Yeah.
I know, because I worked a few of them as props. Where I started, and I just started the props, and I was like, I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing this. And I know that there's a whole crew of them that work those, and they're like,
just give them a shout, and they're like,
please, are you doing horror? Can I do a horror?
Yeah, please. Can you break me out of this?
Yeah.
It's like Groundhog Day for them.
It is.
Yeah. It's just on repeat.
Like, you should see the amount of Christmas in storage.
Yeah.
I saw them setting up for one day in the exchange. And it just looked like the Christmas store just puked out the back of the truck. And it was.
And it's
stored
weird.
Places.
Yeah, like, but it's weird when you're on set, you're like, wow, this is a lot. And then when you watch it, you're like, no, that's perfect. Like, it looks just right on camera. But in the moment, you're like, there's garland everywhere. And then
it's a gaudy Christmas.
Yeah.
Does that.
A gaudy Christmas is a different one. That's where the gangsters cut off your thumb. The gaudy Christmas.
Got it. I'm sorry. Mid-80s Italian family.
I would love that.
The gaudy Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Lifetime. Lifetime would take that one. Hallmark wouldn't touch it, but Lifetime might do it.
Does the love really have, like, I look at them and they're cheesy as shit, but they work.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder, like, how do we get there on set? What that environment's like to make this pop for us?
Well, I mean, I've never actually played a love interest on any of the Hallmarks. I'm usually like...
Don't say never.
Yeah, you never know. It could happen. call me, Hallmark. Anyways, I'm usually like the friend or the quirky, fun person that's the friend and also runs an obscure... Like this last one, I was at the tow truck service in the whole little town. So, which was great because you're kind of like, this is...
And you were everywhere though, weren't you?
Yeah, like she would just be there like in the corner. And they would, like, make commentary. Like, they'd be like, is it over? And I'd be like, nope. Like, just in the corner. Or, like, they'd be picking something up, and then I would just randomly be there. They added a scene where I
picked up. Was her name Cindy?
Yeah, Cindy. So she ran a tow truck service. It was for We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
That's it. We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and it was actually kind of different for Hallmarks because there wasn't a cute little kid in it. And
there's a woman driving a tow truck.
Yeah. But,
they're getting progressive, man.
But, yeah, but the relationship, they were kind of falling out of love, and they had already been married. Like, they were already in a relationship.
Oh, it's not the big girl comes back home.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. It was them finding each other again, being right in front of your nose the whole time. So, I appreciated that. That was nice. And I think other people did too. And that was done by Inferno too. And I will work with Ian Dimmerman anytime, always, forever.
Ian Dimmerman was my first contact, really, in the film industry.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I work with him always.
And Lisa.
Lisa Sicelli.
Is it Sicelli? Because I have never had the balls to pronounce her last name.
As far as I know, that's how they pronounce me.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Lisa, if I said it wrong.
I email her only, so I don't have to say it. But I'm like, I can't figure that one out. No, they're Inferno's great to work with.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And Sammy? Mm-hmm. Sammy's still there?
I think so.
I went to school with Sammy.
I think so.
Like way back.
Because I get a lot of emails from people and I don't actually see them.
Yeah.
But like I'll see Lisa and Ian obviously on set. But,
yeah.
But yeah, no, and it was nice. It's funny because I think Hallmark has such a like a following. Like they have like a Hallmark Comic-Con kind of thing. Like
really?
Yeah. And it's a big deal. Like people go to
Yeah. Lauren's IMDb and...
Yeah, whenever
December, like
yeah, I
Thanksgiving,
did a, I did a Thanksgiving Hallmark, like the first thing I ever did, probably 15 years ago, and every American Thanksgiving and Canadian Thanksgiving, my IMDb goes like through the roof, and it has since then.
Yeah,
it goes
frustrated.
It goes way. I jump.
Oh,
like,
so
a
you
whole
guys
bunch.
Get to see a spike on your side of the
yeah,
page.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the
that's
first one I did. It was a Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
Well, and you'll have fans contact you and stuff.
Yeah, sometimes like there was a really there's a couple,
that's so cool.
Yeah, there's a couple
I didn't
like
know
Hallmark
that.
Podcasts and stuff, and they'll call me. They're like,
yeah,
we love
the podcast
this
that followed like
I can't remember
snow on Snowmance.
I can't remember. Well, and Snowmance
I can't believe they got
tech-
money to make this. Is that what it is?
Oh no! How did this get made?
How did this get made?
Made
which is a pretty
Snowmance.
Popular podcast.
Yeah.
With
oh, that's the three comedians.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Shear
they did. They,
Paul
they, Shear. They just roasted Snowmance the whole time, which
they did
I'm
it.
In. And like
the spike on that was insane.
Oh man! But at the same time, they were still really nice to me, which I was thankful for. I was like, "Oh, please go gentle."
Yeah.
But they were wonderful.
When I see them, I stop and I'm like, Sean is like, "Get that fucking shit off!" And I'm like, "No, I love it. Like, I love trashy romance on television."
Do you know what I heard? Like, why they're made? They're made for
to piss off Candace Cameron.
Maybe. That's very possible.
No, they're made basically, this is what the thought behind it. It was some sort of producer talking about it, but they're made because housewives can pick up at any point during the storyline.
Oh, yes.
And so they can turn it on at any time
and
just start watching it at any time.
Which is huge.
And leave it at any time.
Because if you've missed the first half, people usually don't stick around. With this one, it's like, I'm writing the story.
I know it. I already know it. Mm-hmm. I'm already in.
It's and that we did an episode where we made up our own debate.
Oh yeah,
we did a holiday like make up your own Hallmark, and I just went into a Hallmark generator and was like, copy paste. I'm not gonna fucking complicate this.
Now you can AI
ChatGPT.
Just AI the shit out of it.
Dude, the catchphrases for the show all made with ChatGPT. Like everything that I've ever for the last month, I've been like, make a catchphrase
pitch
for the real debaters.
Pitch it.
That's amazing.
Where the power of debate
reads
the power of cinema.
And people
that's
are all
right.
Right. I find it fascinating that everyone's so worried about it. But it's like it's your like thought. You have to like limit what it thinks
you
about.
You also
have
to workshop it after.
Yeah, you can't just like pop it. Like I know there's going to be little like kids, teenagers. Here's my essay.
Yeah,
but you don't write like that. Get out of here. Like you have to be like I write it in a grade 5 level. For grade 11, do you know what I mean? I'm teaching how to
totally
just giving the ideas to children.
That's fine. Tune in, like this podcast.
Follow, like, subscribe.
Yeah, right. Smash it.
So they're fun to work on.
Yeah,
and they're sweet.
They're light. Like you're not really stressed. You're not really.
And you're working with friends, right?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like here in Winnipeg, like you'll be like, oh hey, like everybody you know, and they all know you, and
being a parent of a young child, that is like.
I do like having things that she can watch that I don't have to wait till she's, 16.
Yeah,
to
there's
watch.
No conversations
yeah.
about it.
Like, well, I was like, who's that? That's mine.
And coming out of COVID, you're stuck at home the whole time, and then you get to go to work and work on something that's fun
and
nice
light.
And, like,
and
because I'm going to get into the Kara stuff later, and it's the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. Before we do that, I want to cover everything because we got so much.
So
but
much.
You're short.
Which one? Oh, the
Only Human.
Only Human. Check it out.
I watched it twice
like,
this
subscribe,
morning.
Smash that like button.
Smash it. We'll put
five.
All your credits will be in the show notes
sure.
so that people can spike at Thanksgiving, and then I can spike with you
please
too.
There
look
you go.
At,
there
please
you go.
Come to my IMDb page and look at it every
just
day
look at
for
it.
Me.
Scroll down.
My, for whatever, my IMDb page just gets dog shit. Like, just nothing.
I will make sure that every episode going forward, we just say, like Aaron Murky's IMDb.
Please
page.
Do.
Like,
please
just, we'll...
just put a link.
No, do it
just
as
put
a test
a link.
For, like, the month of March.
Yeah,
just,
do it, please.
Done. Done.
Please.
Yeah.
Everything. Welcome to the show, kids. Like Aaron Murky's
It will,
IMDb
though.
Page.
Once Safe Haven comes out and everyone sees how brilliant he is.
Yeah, I heard. I really did hear that it was it was people's favorite character, which is weird for me because I'm like, it's creepy, but they liked it. So
people are more into what is off-putting, I find, these days than what is and for lack of a better term, what is Hallmark? What is package? What is process? Right. Right? Like you want to
the real.
You want the real. You want the new. You want
something worse than your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, there's a whole genre.
Daytime television.
Oh yeah.
The Netflix documentaries of their life is worse than mine.
Yep.
When we all found out during COVID that Tiger King made us all feel better.
Yeah.
That whole entire genre has blown up where it's like, here's an idiot who fell for something and fell harder than you and still hasn't bounced
and
back.
And someone died like in a bonkers situation.
Totally.
Yeah.
And someone found her husband alive.
Yeah.
Which, hooray for him.
Dude,
hooray for him.
Every day, me and Mark make fun of this all the time on the show because, well, in our everyday lives, our partners love true crime.
Oh, yeah.
And I got up this morning to, was it a murder or was it suicide? And I'm like, this is not how I want to start my Sunday. Pulling the sleep and hangover out of my eyes.
Hey, baby, want waffles?
Right.
And her guts were spread across the wall.
Every fucking day.
Oh, we're like the end of our day, to be perfectly honest. Because we live in rainbows and kittens and like bunnies.
She's better than that. She's better
she is. But I'm just saying like having a child, when especially when they're young, you change a bit where you're like, oh my God, the world is so beautiful.
Like, I know every episode of Bluey.
Everything's beautiful and everything is Disney-fied. And I do love it because it makes me less of a cynical person.
Yes, totally.
But when she goes to bed, we're like, let's get the dark shit out. Let's rip it out and watch this.
Mindhunter.
Like, what did we watch last night?
We watched all three, the Murdoch murders.
Alex Murdoch.
Yeah.
We watched it too.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Did you watch all three?
Back to back.
Yeah.
So
that's
crazy.
So fucked up.
Yeah.
So what do you, first of all,
redheads. Redheads.
All right.
That, like, but okay, you have to admit, the young son is the poster for the redhead you want to kick in the head. Like, that guy is such a piece of shit. Yeah.
Well, the older son is too.
Well, yeah, Buster,
But the delusion on the girl who dated him, the delusion you had to date a piece of shit like that.
But also, you're judging her now at 20. She was 15.
But the red tape she talked about. Sorry,
yeah.
The red tape she talked about, or the red flags.
I'm like, crime
fuck.
Scene,
those are like, no. That's like, holy fuck. These my the feelings of virtue that I have, don't even match, not even closely.
Yeah.
Like it's polar opposite.
Me and Shauna were looking at her like, come on. You had like, there was a lot of moments where she should have pulled the cord beforehand.
No,
but
tons.
I understand that
love. Sometimes turns to spitting and hitting. Sometimes it's just
spitting. I mean, if there's permission granted, I get it, right?
Oh, my God.
You can spit me now.
Consent is important.
But
cognitive dissonance, a phrase we learned over.
Yes, so did I.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. That's what she had, if you think about it.
Yeah.
She can hold two opinions that are completely against each other on a topic. There you go, listener, cognitive dissonance. Back to your short.
Only Human. Yes.
I saw it at the name, I'm going to butcher it. Where did it premiere? What little festival it was?
ACTRA MIPS.
The MIPS.
The Manitoba.
Initiated.
Member initiated production.
Member initiated production.
Something.
Yeah. Loved yours the most.
Thanks, brother.
Love a sad clown.
Thank you.
Big fan of that metaphor. I will tell you how I viewed it.
Sure,
you can
please.
Tell me
I love that.
What, you can tell me where I'm wrong. I looked at it as...
Let's stop right there. No, I'm just
okay, you're way ahead of yourself. I looked at it as you're anchored in your personal view of who you are, which is the jail suit you were wearing, which was very fitting.
Yeah.
And what you want to become, you have to sacrifice and let go of to fully be happy, to get rid of it all, to start anew and be and just realize you're human.
Right.
You've got the jail cell with all the bad words. You've got the hopes, the dreams on the balloons, which is like you're fighting between the two. You're trying to get this off of you. And then finally, you got this huge gold chain that says human on it, which is all that matters. Am I right at all?
Yeah, very close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was that what you were trying to convey?
Yeah. So
how did it all start?
The first time I talked to you, I was going through all this shit.
Very well, you had your medical thing.
My medical thing. Yeah. So basically, this spurred this.
Okay.
So while I was talking to you, I was actually like writing this out and making this. So I thought I was dying, right?
I was following your YouTube videos.
Yeah, I thought I was dying. So if you want to check it out, it's on my YouTube. But
and that's past tense, character. Obviously.
Yeah. I they don't know what happened. They have no clue. And
but
I'm just
it hasn't happened.
My cognitive dissonance is fine with that. So, the jail suit is a reflection of the things I've been called my whole life.
Okay.
Like, just the things, the names. I was just like jotting
public's
down.
Opinion.
Yeah, public opinion. Like, but usually closer than public, like family members, that
people
kind of
who
thing.
Know
the
you.
Shit
like
that
labels.
You don't even,
labels.
The things you don't even think you think about, like, the things you were called and you're like, I don't even know, whatever, move on. It still sits in there. It's the deep, deep, deep shit, right? So that's the names you've been called. The hopes and dreams are like, I want to do SNL. Do you know what I want to do this? I want to do this. And it's also like the things that stop you from doing it. So I thought you couldn't have kids because I wanted to be an artist. I thought if I was going to have kids, I'd probably have to be a teacher or something. You know, all the bullshit you tell yourself.
Preconceived notions.
Yeah, just garbage.
Society's impression.
Yeah, the norms and all the garbage. And so it's all of that. So you're like restricting yourself because you have all these hopes and dreams. And then you're just like, well, what the fuck? I'm like, if I'm dying, what are you going to do?
What's the fucking point?
What's the point? I want to get these off of me.
Okay.
So you have to let go of your hopes and dreams.
So you're... I'm right where you have to let go of something, but you were in the throes of...
Yeah, like my I stopped doing stand-up years ago. Like, things they stopped, I was just like, fuck it, I gotta let go of all these preconceived...
Because they weren't serving you.
No, and they're notions of myself that I was putting... I was holding myself accountable and holding them on. And you're holding too tight to even, like, see outside of yourself because you're, like, so focused on one thing. So just letting the shit go and letting life fucking happen was kind of it. And so you can then take off. Like, I got my pants off in the thing, but, like, I couldn't get the shirt off. Like there's no way. So I let it go, get the shirt off. But when you let it go, basically, life will hand you things that you deserve or that you need or you want. Like, I know that sounds very fucking The Secret.
No, The Secret is if you say it, somehow you manifest it.
Right.
Where what you're saying is you're letting a little bit of, like, chance
or,
come
out. Yeah, trusting.
Because I think, like, to be in this industry, and, like, especially as a comedian and a actor, you sometimes sacrifice so much of yourself. And I see it in my friends, too, like, people that have become famous and things. The stuff they've had to, like, just not, like, just put blinders on and just go and not have a life is sad. Right. And so they get to a certain place and then it's like,
then you're Tom Brady and you can't do anything because football's everything. Pressure's everything.
Right.
You have no identity because this is the only thing you are.
And you're not human. Like,
no,
if I would have stayed in Toronto and stayed with Much Music and did the things that I was doing before I moved back here and before we moved away. And like, I think I would have been an angrier, selfish. I would you know what I mean? I wouldn't be a kind person. And I think letting go of that allowed me to be the person that I actually am and take all that shit and not be mean and not be that and just be the human.
And even like the positive labels that people can put on you can still hinder you because you think, oh, I'm the funny guy. I have to always be funny. And it's like, you don't. You can be
what you are. Just fucking breathe.
You exist. Like, and it will change. It's fluid. It will change day to day, moment to moment. Yeah. So, you know, getting locked in and cemented to them could hurt you more in the long run than not.
Well, you're not a racehorse,
right?
And that's what you break a horse to be nothing but a racehorse.
Right.
So to be nothing but a character actor, to be nothing but a comedian, to be like, you're definitely shortchanging yourself.
Right. And like I said earlier, like, people really want to put you in a box because it's like, you should only do one thing. It's like, no. Like, life is so much more interesting than just doing one thing your whole life.
Well, and that's for
sacrificing
people.
Sacrificing your life.
Right. If I have you in a box, I know where you are.
Exactly.
So... It's for other people. They can't understand that you want to be in multiple boxes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought, how was it like going through all this? And because you helped make the film with them, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were also going through other tricky times at that time. You want me to say?
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. So I actually had a miscarriage like 3 days before we shot that. So it was heavy.
Yeah.
To emotionally, but I wanted to do it. I didn't want to just be sitting around. I'm the type of Aaron and I are both the same where it's like sometimes you sit in feeling sad for yourself too long. I mean, this is a very specific situation where you can take as long as you absolutely need to. Mm-hmm. But I know in myself that sometimes I need to just do something. I need to work and I need to focus on something. And so I wasn't feeling too great, but I wanted to be there and I wanted to support him because I did love the concept and it. And I knew that it was not just about art, like artistic expression, but about therapy for him.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot
of things. You two became therapy. Like, yeah. It still is somewhat.
Because there's a lot of things, like, I've known him, like, 17 years.
I was going to say, as someone who's known him, probably as all these labels have been assigned, there might have been some stuff, though, that predates
me. Oh yeah. There's absolutely things that predate me. But there's also things that I've seen change and grow and be let go, and then also things that he can't seem to let go of as easy as he would like to. Mm-hmm. So having you know, having that situation just beforehand and then him making that, it was just.
And I was still sick. We thought.
Yeah,
we
didn't know what was going on. And
catharsis?
Yeah, it was very much catharsis. And also, it was kind of pretty heavy into, like, a lot of lockdowns and stuff. Like, it wasn't really a full lockdown, but there was still a lot of restrictions. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we followed everything by the book, obviously. Everyone was wearing masks and we were shooting all that. But it was nice just to be around people because we hadn't been.
Yeah, because we were locked down still.
Yeah.
There was no film happening at that time. There was nothing.
Yeah. Well, and for a creative, I got to do, I never didn't work and I got to do this
the
time.
Fuck you.
Right? That's right. I it's so fucking weird. Like, I had to get COVID 2.5 years later to actually get time off work.
Right.
I'm construction.
Right.
We're Manitoba mandated industry.
Right.
You need a pump and the government calls.
Right.
So we were given exemption. But I can imagine for you guys, going through what you went through, Lauren, right. Going through this, you're like two physical health. Like, that's a lot of heavy.
Yeah. Heavy shit.
So to be able to get it out or to be a part of something that lets you get it out.
And also, I think those labels are applicable. I mean, I can understand them, too, because I think people.
And we have a 1.5-year-old.
Yeah.
At
the time. Yeah. She was not even. I think she was just 2.
Yeah.
Pull that mic a little bit back.
Yeah,
to
sorry, the sun's in my eyes.
So oh,
yeah, there we go. sun's setting.
I'll pull that down. Keep
okay,
going.
But like I can really identify with having labels put on you and having, you know, I saw something the other day that was like, there's a different version of you that exists in every single person you've ever met because what they think of you, what they've witnessed of you, what you've said. I mean, they all are going to make their own opinions about who you are and what you do. And I think sometimes Aaron and I, because we're silly or we're performative in our professions, that I think we both get written off sometimes as not being as emotionally, having the same emotional needs as other people sometimes.
I would disagree with that wholeheartedly because anybody who's in comedy is working something out.
But in my experience throughout my life, I think there's been people who just write you off as being like, oh, whatever, you're just being silly. And you're like, yes, because I'm trying to feel better.
Well, and also in an industry where people aren't always as open and honest, like truly honest with who they are.
Showing
like,
a la carte, because
there's a lot more narcissists in this profession than we care to admit, right? Like,
right.
Well, yeah, you want to be above the line. You don't want to be below. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just how you handle it.
Yeah.
Or in how you treat people when you get it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
I want to fuck Joe Rogan. I want number one, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But like, I also know that I might not be capable of getting it yet, but knowing that when you get there, like, fucking chill, man.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's
totally.
No reason to be arrogant.
Yeah. I'm the type of guy that if we like took a class years ago together, I'm like, oh yeah, nice to see you. Do you know what I mean? Whereas, and I know there's people that on the other end of things that are huge now.
I'm jealous
like,
of you. You have something I want. Fuck off.
Right. Yeah. And
or
it's
they're
really
kind of like, what? You? I don't remember you.
Yeah. I don't remember.
What? I thought we had a really
and it's
good
like,
moment.
Wow. Okay. And it's like, for me, I'm just like, ah, I'm like Spike and those like the bouncing dog. You know what I mean? Like I'm the bouncing dog around Spike and I know I'm obnoxious in that way and I've always known it. So at times I tended to stay away, but now I don't as much because I'm like, fuck it.
No.
But
you do get to a point. Yeah, I agree. Like I don't. You just have to stop caring. Don't read the comments.
Right. If you get annoyed with me, that's you're dealing with you, not me.
I'm still gonna be me.
Yeah, man.
You might want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but, it was beautifully shot.
No, thanks, man.
These huge and in the church, like it's a silent film, listener, but it's loud as fuck. Yeah. Like there's lots
and
of
magical because some of the like
the balloons happening
the way
insane.
It did.
Oh, that wasn't
no.
Like, how do you control that?
Like the only thing did was because he got the helium balloons, and I just let a little bit of helium out of a couple of them and just blew regular air in them, so they'd have a different weight. But the way it fell and where it fell was entirely.
We
can
shot
you
add that to your like FX credit?
A puppeteer and balloon
ballooner.
Yeah, man. But like that happened right at it was 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. It was the last,
and the sun was shining through the
last
stained
take.
Glass.
Yeah, you've got that blast coming through.
Like that's all. Just
and you have it. You have a church that isn't. I really appreciated that the church was in disarray in the background. Like it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't this pristine, immaculate, holy place.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is counter to everything you see in a church.
Right.
I don't even think they have a congregation, do they? They just.
Yeah, they do. I know they do.
Even if they did, it doesn't matter. But yeah, it was a little more.
It was an Anglican church that basically had a food bank out of the back of it.
And I don't think they had services because
they didn't have
the restrictions.
Because of COVID,
so,
at the time.
Did you always plan to take your clothes off? Was that...
Yeah, the clothes was. The church wasn't.
Okay.
So I just wanted a warehouse. Like, a lot... The inspiration, I think, came from the Childish Gambino a little bit.
Okay. Like, this is sure, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's very...
This is America.
Yeah, like that fucking thing. Because it was so raw, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, interesting. And it was just in a big... I was just thinking of a warehouse like that because I just needed tall ceilings.
Sure. Balloon environment, right? Ballooner.
Yes.
And then I just, and then I literally, says yes. And then literally, I just put on in Facebook is like, does anyone have a space like a church, a school, and something?
Yeah, he was looking for a gym at one point. Yeah.
And so someone was like, yeah,
80-foot or 60 to 80-foot ceilings is right. all I need.
And then yes. Matt Schween, like,
yes. Matt Schween, oh my god,
yeah.
Like he was like before I had it cut up into like Wes Anderson-y type things, but he was like, I have a dolly cam. We should just
put
it on
that. Sweeping shots.
Yeah. Let's just do it in a one take. And it's
he's
a one
so
take.
Brilliant. Like
it really is a good one take.
Yeah, man. Dude.
What? We did it, what, 5-6 times?
5 times.
Yeah.
And five.
Three
wow.
were usable.
Three were usable. Three we did four. We did two rehearsals, a bunch of rehearsals, two full way through rehearsals. Yeah. Then they rolled and we did 5 rolls.
No, no. Yeah. It was 5 in total of
no,
filming.
No. You had a couple, I think, beforehand.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
We just did, those were just rehearsals, but they weren't like full.
I can switch filming. Hats and charge $60 an hour to solve this if you
want. I think therapy should be done in podcast form.
That would be amazing.
That would be.
That would be amazing.
Hold people real accountable.
No yeah, shit. But you said, and I have it on recording.
I have it filmed and.
But I think that is like the most real version of me. Like that film.
Oh, dude, I think we all got to know you in that 5 yeah. minutes and 45 yeah. seconds. It really, and I like I'm not like look in my room. You would not walk in here and be like this guy likes short films, like short
art house film,
right? Like I'm yeah, not yeah. that guy, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. But yeah. I just want to be able to have that eye in my toolbox. So if I do see one, right. I can you know act mature, reset,
right.
look mm-hmm. at it for what it is. It's not Captain America's ass is not going to be in this.
Right? Yeah.
It's something that speaks to you. So let yourself be spoken to. And I've enjoyed that so much more. And that's been a byproduct of doing shit like this because I would still stay in my lane.
Right.
And be like, let's watch fucking more Jack Nicholson Batman, right? But I'm better for it because I was like, and me and Jimmy were like super nervous to go. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? Like,
really?
Yeah, because we didn't know it was going to be.
Mips.
I know, but like, I'm me, dude. Like, I don't, you know, me talking about.
Why did you guys go? Like, what was
to support
it?
You guys to be
oh,
there
that's
to
nice.
Like have to have like be like, hey, the Real Debaters gives two fucks, right?
Right.
Like
yeah.
we.
But that's great.
You know, so that's why we showed up. We and me and Jimmy were just like, did you get that? I was like, I think I got that. We'll talk later.
Yeah.
You know? But
yeah.
Ian's kind of been that route, right? Because
right.
I interviewed him on Strong Son.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the first short film that I'd watched in years.
A great short film too.
And then was like, okay. Put that hat on. See if you can do it.
Mm-hmm. It's so important. I think, especially here, you're able to make stuff like that because of the crew that you have access to.
Actra, Manitoba
yeah.
Film,
yeah, man.
The Winnipeg Cinematheque with
yeah.
the gear that you could rent. Like, there's a lot of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I tell people regularly, you should move from Toronto to here because it's a lot. You can access more. You can do more.
People are coming here, and it's a smaller... more focused pond of talent and artistry and education that isn't as insane, this is just an outsider, as the Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver markets where it's hand over fist and people are beating each other to the door because they want, like, it's just, it's busy, but it's not
crazy.
Being fought over.
Right, it's not crazy yet.
Mm-hmm. Right? And it's going to happen, so you might as well get here now as it builds instead of when it turns into another Toronto or Vancouver where, you know, there are 15 films being shot. You can't get to the top of the line and get trained and get educated and become better at your craft.
Yeah.
Like, I'm better at my thing here because this exists here. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't have to, like, people are like, there's people in Manitoba. I'm like, you don't fucking have any idea what's been made here. Mm-hmm.
But that
yes, Jennifer Lopez and Richard Gere danced one night. Come on now, like.
Yeah, but a little bit that's our fault too, though, right? Like when we downplay, it's like Lorne went to Humber, and I know people came out of Humber, and they're always like sheepish when they like the hot comedy program. Not as much anymore, but when it first started, they were like, "Yeah, I did Humber." They were always excusing it.
Sorry,
I did Humber.
Sorry, I did comedy writing and performance at Humber. Sorry.
And I'm like, dude,
really? You had to apologize for that?
Yeah,
back in the day,
I didn't feel that way, but I knew other people did.
Other people that did, and I was like, don't do that. Like, what you should do is like amp it up so it feels like it's more than it is, because it will be eventually.
Yeah.
Like the people that have come out of there is huge, like huge. But back in the day, it was like, oh, you've got to go to school to learn comedy. It's like,
yeah, like,
well,
they
no,
call it like
you,
clown collar. Like, and honestly, most of the people who said that were also comedians who were real pissed that.
Well, because they're all fighting to the crabs in a bucket, man. Yeah. So it's like,
that's what I don't understand about comedy is that it.
How unfriendly it can be in Canada?
Yeah, how unfriendly the funny a pastime should be.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I get that it's very singular. It's your performance, it's your voice, and it's your audience. Yeah. And to command a room that are all in bated breath for your next joke is a powerful feeling.
Yes.
But
one of the best.
To rock 1,000 strangers into a roar of laughter.
Yeah.
I've done it maybe twice since I've started this show.
Yeah.
And both times I was like, fuck, that's addictive.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be that should be something that's celebrated, not like, fuck you, get off my neck. Mm-hmm. I want that spot.
I'll have to say it's worse in Canada than it is in the States.
It feels like that.
It's worse in Canada because of the glass ceiling, to be honest.
Sure.
And so no one's looking for comedians up in Canada. Like, no one cares because we're not a Mecca, right? Like, and we fall into that a lot. Like, we're able to move a lot quicker up here. Like, as far as I'm concerned, we can move a lot. I can do this project, I can do that project, I can do this, I can do that. But there's also, like, there's some pithy, shitty attitudes here.
Yeah.
And especially in Manitoba, there's some garbage attitudes, I have to say. And so it's like, Toronto, Vancouver, like, it's just, it depends. It depends on the scene. It depends who you come up with. And it's like, I don't know.
Well, it's always how whoever drives the ship before.
Yeah, dude.
If you don't, it doesn't need to be competitive.
No.
I get, and I understand that you need to, you know, take your licks and, you know, bomb and have those horrible nights. In anything, you need to bomb to get better. Otherwise, you're just going to think you're only as good as you. You won't learn. But I don't think it needs to be so competitive. I don't think it needs to be so
mean.
I think it just it's like
exclusive.
Opinionated. Like, I think if you really genuinely love comedy, whether you perform it or not, if you love it, if you live for it, picking apart someone else's comedy, unless it's like directly offensive to someone and like you're picking on
or
you're punching down
the technical aspect of how they're like if you're bombing your joke
yes.
and I'm picking apart how you're doing your joke, not your intent, not your creativity, just I'm chewing apart you're asking for the laugh or something.
And if you can look at the math of it and go, okay, that's not my cup of tea, but I understand that A, there's people who will love that joke, that it makes sense on paper why this works, and you're delivering it the right way so that those people will love it. Why would I pick that apart? Like, I don't have to love every flavor of ice cream, but I can understand that's like, why would I tell you your flavor is stupid? Like, that's such a backwards thinking, like going, oh, wow, yeah, no, not my favorite. I really like strawberry, but I'm glad you like, you know, cherry vanilla or whatever. Like,
there's room for both.
Yeah, right. Man.
Baskin-Robbins said it. There's 32 fucking flavors.
And people are fighting over crumbs, and it's like, why?
Yeah.
Like when you really think about it, why you've, like, people in the film industry, there's a lot of money to be had. There's a lot of money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And no one's treating each other like shit.
No.
And it's competitive, right? Or people can perceive it as, I don't think of it as competitive, but they perceive it as competitive because there's a lot of money on the table. But for something that has no money on the table, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, let it go, dude. It can't be, like, I know it's not a hobby for you. I know it's a life for you. I get it. I've been there. I lived it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you don't have to, like, you don't have to be a dickhead to get a head. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
You should be the opposite, actually.
Totally. Yeah. And every, like, the limited people that have come up to me, I always remember, I'm like, if someone asks me a question, I'm like, I will always tell you how I did it. If you think I'm doing something right, which I don't know why you think that, but if you, like, somebody said something about the show once and they're like, man, they're nailing it. And I was like, thank you. Like, I don't know why you think that.
Yeah.
But
how many years?
Five.
5 years, okay? 5 years. And, like, within that 5 years, you got there. But did they listen to your first show?
Nobody
can.
I took
the second
show? The website.
Right? Right? But do you know what I mean? Like, but those are the learning.
Yes.
You have a learning.
Yeah.
And people need that place to learn. So having, like,
a,
like,
shitty learning environment.
Yeah. It's not going to
help.
People
picking you apart every step of the way. It's going, well, why? Like, what a waste of energy for even the person, the bully. Yeah.
Well,
know?
I also know who you are when you do that.
Yeah.
Which is you need to pick apart somebody else to feel better.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You should probably not be in the business of making people laugh.
Yeah. Right.
Because you're going to eventually pick apart someone in your audience.
Yeah.
And you're going to alienate them. And then you're just going to be like, how the fuck did I get here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
And I've had comedy idols, especially when I lived in Toronto, who I adored and thought they were amazing. And then saw them, how they talked to, like, a waiter or how they talked to someone. And it's like, for no reason. They were just a dick for no reason. it's like, wow, I don't actually care about
obviously
about
you've never
your
been
comedy.
A waiter.
I don't care about your comedy anymore. I don't care about what you're doing because you're taking pleasure and joy out of hurting somebody else. And and I know like comedy's subjective and people get edgy and they say their funny opinions and they're, you know, I'm not saying anything against that, but yeah,
it's how the industry treats each other, not how the industry performs.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
To quote Kanye West, hurt people hurt. So. I've quoted him a couple times in my life. I don't know why I say that.
Yeet out of here, buddy.
Yeezy. Yeezy
yeah,
now.
There you go.
Nice. Hey, y'all.
We
got off track on those.
That's okay. I'll put us back here. So Kara, it's Kara Robertson?
Kari Farver.
I read about it, but I want listener to know because you're going predominantly comedy, funny, charming, to a dark story about murder, correct? What is it for a listener?
Okay, so it's a bonkers story. There was like there was a Dateline and a 2020 about it, I think. And they actually sent...
Jonna, get down. No.
Yeah, it's probably on there. But it's a woman who started dating a man. And they were both, I think, she was a single mom. And he was kind of like a newly separated sort of single dad. And then they started dating and then they went on a couple of dates. And then one day she just like wasn't at his, like she stayed at his house for something. Cause she had some work thing. She wasn't there anymore. Spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't watched this yet.
Too late.
But so she's there and she's, you know, working from home from his house. And then he just gets a text one day and she's like, I can't do this. It's over. I'm out. He was like, well, that was super abrupt, but they'd only been dating a couple of months. If that, he's like, okay, I guess. And then all of a sudden he starts getting more and more just bonkers, like really aggressive texts from this woman, and he's going, well, where, like, what, like, leave me alone then, like, I thought we're over. And then meanwhile he dates this other woman, his, you know, he's still talking to his ex-wife and his kids and all this stuff. Then you find out that this Kara is missing. Like, she's, her family, and her family has gone, we haven't seen her. So then
Kara's not the one sending the messages.
Well, they think she is, but they don't know where she is and why and what's happening. And so he goes,
the
police
Christmas
come to him. So the police come to him asking questions, like, when was the last, and he's going, what? I didn't, like, this is the last time I've heard of her. This is what she said. And then now we're getting all these bonkers texts. I don't want to give it all away. But he starts dating this other woman who starts also getting stalked by getting texts from Kara.
By Kira.
Yeah. And just horrible things said to her. And like, I think, I don't even know if it made the movie, but in the story, like, her house burns down. I think a couple of her dogs died. Like, it was crazy. You find out all along that this other woman he had been dating got like jealous and like posed as her and killed Kara and like had her van and her Jeep or something. And yeah.
So Kara was a complete innocent bystander in all of this.
Yeah. A lovely woman who left behind like a son. And yeah.
So you go from being fun and funny and charming. How do you find darkness? How do you be a part of it? Like, it, because it doesn't sound like you're the kind of person that wants to pick on somebody or make somebody's day bad. Like, it.
Yeah.
So where do you find that in yourself?
I do love picking on people. No, I'm joking. Well, I mean, it's interesting because like a lot of stuff that comes here to Winnipeg is either like really happy or really like dark. Like, I've done a lot of darker thriller horror type.
Mm-hmm. You did Hunter.
Hunter.
Which is on Netflix until March 6th.
Yeah.
Go watch it, kids.
Go watch it.
It's fucking awesome.
Orphan. Yeah, like a lot of dark stuff. So even like Fractured was
Orphan's a romantic comedy. What are you talking about?
There you go. Beautiful and romantic.
Hey, she's got a thing for him.
Yeah,
right?
It's true. It's true.
Tell me how you look at it.
But yeah, I don't know. I just, I don't know. I think, I don't want to sound weird, but I think a lot of times comedy and drama are a lot closer linked than people give them credit for. Anybody who actually acts in comedy and drama would definitely tell you that they are, but comedy is really just about truth and drama is too. So it's like, it's just a different side of the coin, I think. But, I mean, I didn't, in the Kara Robinson story, I just play like a forensic tech, which was really fun because they gave me like the little blue light luminol thing. And I was like, yes.
What did you blue light?
Blood. I found blood in a vehicle.
No, I meant offset. Did you
oh,
take
no,
that home
I was,
with you?
I was not. No way. We were shooting.
Just go to public washrooms.
No,
now.
We were shooting in the old Selkirk Hospital. I did not need to do that. Thank you very much. That would be very gross. But no, it was fun, and I kept joking with my like safety glasses and doing the like David Caruso thing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, and then all right, lights, action, go, and then it just comes back.
But I think I'm a pretty serious person, to be honest. Like,
but most, like, especially when you're working horror, it's usually like,
well, they try to keep
everyone's
it lighter.
Like really like, you're doing heavy scenes, and then everyone's like, after your cut, you're like, oh, yeah, let's goof around because this is a little hard.
I was going to say.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. So I just, I mean, I had a decent role, but a pretty small one. And most of mine was all after the crime, and we were helping, you know,
save the day.
Yeah. And then the detectives would come to me being like, what did we find? And it's like this.
So knowing that Hallmark are based on acts of nonfiction. No, I'm kidding. This is an act of fiction or nonfiction.
Nonfiction.
Like when you get into that genre, I mean, it must be such a nice break to be like, I've been happy all the time. I've been supportive. I've been the best friend.
Yeah.
And now I can do this. But I mean, after a while, it would like genre does have that effect where like, do you have to go to a place? Just and I mean,
yeah,
you say
bit.
You know you're. Yeah. Do you prep before like when these like, I'm just imagining the method performance of like a Daniel Day-Lewis where like he's like I refuse to go to the hospital even though I have tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Right. You know. So like, do you start to watch darker movies? Do you get like?
I mean, I've done ones where, especially for auditions, like if I'm like, oh, I'm in such a bad mood, I don't want to use it. I'm like, no, I'm going to use it. I'm going to be.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I think, I think a lot of the times. As actors, we have like a lunchbox, like characters. Like we have like certain things we just like. Okay, this is me and this. This is me and this. This you've already built those characters. You just have to tweak little things here and there.
So you have a toolbox.
You have a toolbox of shit. That
yeah,
you just
and I mean, and it really depends on where in the script you are. Like if you're like, for example, on Carrie Farver, I was playing Christine, who's like a forensic tech. So I'm not. I don't necessarily. She should be removed as a professional. She should be somewhat removed, but still. Affected by how terrible everything has been happening to this poor gal, but so I think it's more just putting yourself in that position and going, okay, she's still professional, she still would want to get to the bottom of this. You have to do it by the book so that the investigation is solid.
Cinephiles are watching everything, so they're I mean, like
they usually have specialists on site too.
Yeah, sometimes they do. Like they'll like, especially anytime I've played a nurse, they'll have nurses like explain like this is exactly what you would do, how you would do it. You would never take an IV out like this. You would never put this here. You would always do it this way. You would always wipe. Like I did one where they're like, you always wipe their mouth when you. Right, what's the opposite of intubate? But the taking it out, unintubate or whatever the word is.
Deintubate.
But yeah, so it's like, and you want that stuff because people do. Watch for that. Like this is so silly, but I used to be a window cleaner like another lifetime ago. And if I ever watch a commercial or a show or someone's, I'm like, that's not how you do it.
I don't think that's silly at all.
It drives me nuts. So.
No, Lauren's amazing. I have to say, like, this is so stupid, but watching Lauren do windows, like she kicked the dude's asses all the time. Not a joke. All the time. She got paid less, but like, it's so fucking.
Color me shocked,
right?
No,
but she fucking Sadly. Could kill it, like, like fast, like it's insane. Anyway, we have to.
But yeah, but
I don't know.
But I'm just
One
saying,
day
like you people watch, like, especially experts in their field are watching a movie, and that's not how I do it.
Yeah,
like, not even close.
Someone's always watching.
Yeah. I'm sure lawyers just be like, get this garbage out.
Like
amount of lawyers that are like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Like,
I asked the lawyer in our friend group. I was like, so I don't know. What was that one that they did in Toronto? With Harvey and the guy who could know law but didn't go to law school.
Oh.
What was that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where Meghan Markle came from.
Yeah, Suits.
Suits, thank you. I was like, so how accurate is Suits? And he just laughed in my face.
Yeah.
He didn't even really answer me. And I was like, so not accurate at all. And he's like, no, this is, like, no one tries a case like this. No, no one studies this little before going to court. Like, but it's condensed and whatever. But the little, it's always the little things. It's the coffee cup in the middle of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right? Or like last week with The Last of Us, the camera crew in broad daylight in the drone shot.
Well, and that bridge is funny. My sister had her wedding photos at that bridge. So it's very funny to watch.
Did you hear that Stephen King was like, that's not 10 clicks outside of Boston?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, come on, people. When it's like,
come on, Stephen King.
Right?
Come
like,
on.
Suspend disbelief
come
a bit,
on.
Buddy. You know?
But yeah. No, that is.
Stephen
that
King,
is,
get it together.
That is Canmore. That is Canmore.
Yeah, 100%.
I would have loved to have seen it if it had been filmed here, what they would have done for the mountain shots. Like, would they have just bought stock and fit
probably
them
in? Yeah,
probably
would have CG'd it in the background.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sky replacement.
Yeah.
The tools, the tricks.
Yeah. Or just establishing shots of mountains and then just really tight shots on people to show them that, there's mountains behind them.
Like, Calgary's not that dirty, I just have to say. I've been there. Lauren's from there. It's dirty, but it's not that dirty.
She's not from that dirty side.
No,
yeah, yeah. All right.
My neighbor's pretty
The windows are clean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, in Calgary, the windows are clean.
Yeah.
I love a good Lifetime story. I've been really getting into the, like, Friend of a Family was the one they did on Showcase.
Okay.
Which is Tom Hanks, or Colin Hanks and Anna Paquin.
Oh, yes. About the Abducted in Plain Sight.
Multiple. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's
bonkers.
Which one's that?
Remember that documentary?
This is how our life, you're like getting a sneak peek into
our life. Yeah, it's a documentary about that little girl who was kidnapped twice by the same dude and was like returned and then found, and then they let the parents let this like adult neighbor sleep over, and like he kidnapped her.
Oh, yeah. Right. That crazy
story.
Yeah,
they made a...
Where you're just like, what's up with that? Red Flags Family. What's up with that?
Yeah. You're burying the lead a little bit. Mm-hmm. What she was told was that she had been chosen by an alien species.
Right. I forgot about that part.
Her dad wasn't her dad. Her mom was her mom.
Right.
And if she wasn't pregnant with the male companion at the age of 16, which was dun-dun-dun-dun, the guy who kidnapped her, then they would take her younger sister and impregnate her and steal her. So she was under the guise for like 10 years that she was special and an alien.
We all are. That's how they get you. That's how they make you crazy, is like you're special.
You're
only this special, but you're special. Right?
Are you a gray? Like, do you zip up in the back?
Right.
You're holding your form right now for me?
Chewing gum.
Right?
Like, what's this? Like in Men in Black, the hot water.
Yeah.
Sugar water.
Love Men in Black.
And you also did, which is coming out next week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. March 10th is coming out. You did Champ. You did a fucking Bobby Farley movie.
I know.
Like,
there's some stories behind. Oh, do you want to tell those stories?
No. I play. I have a very small role.
Sure.
It's like mother on the bus.
There's no small roles in this
room. But it is, because it's a fantastic story, and it's a remake from a Spanish film. But
yes, I heard about that recently.
But it's unbelievable. And then, Mr. Farley.
Sorry, Farley.
I got to talk to him, and he was wonderful, and so nice and so funny, and my character's, I don't like this word, but she's straight up bitch. Like, she just is, and she's terrible to these wonderful, they called them friends on set. They were our friends. And she's terrible. So she gets her comeuppance, and it's great.
Yeah, it's about differently abled children who play basketball with this team. And
In the Special Olympics. And I got to meet Woody Harrelson, really lovely man as well. And but he plays a coach that gets kind of banished from his league because of, I think it's substance
alcohol.
Abuse or alcohol or something, but he's just a jerk.
It's always substance abuse.
Yeah, and they kick him out, and then so they say he gets community service.
Is hardball for basketball with the lovely spin of the disabled kids.
Did you see the front cover? It's very Bad News Bears.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's
so awesome.
Oh, the artwork on.
It's so deadly.
And Katie Olsen from Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Caitlin Olsen.
Thank you.
I only met her briefly
Cheech?
In passing. Yes, I didn't. I wasn't on any of his days. But,
that's okay.
But yeah, Caitlin Olsen. I saw her in passing as I was walking away with horrible stuff all over my shirt. So I won't give you any more spoilers. <Yeah.
laughs> What's it like to talk to Bobby Farley, though? Like, from someone who appreciates the art and has gone to school for it. And then...
Yeah, like when I met him, my 10-year-old Lauren in my head.
Fangirl
like,
had to be
was
put
like,
away.
Yeah. like this high pitch for a long time tone. And I won't do it in the mic for and then just meeting him. Like he was really down to earth, really knew what he wanted, was really funny. It was just a wonderful set to be around. Like there was just such a lovely energy, and everybody it was just light and fun. And even grips and different types of crew guys that sometimes are a little more gruff because they're trying to get stuff done and they're stressed out or whatever. Everyone was just like light and fun and relaxed and having a really good time, and it needed that. Like
I think the world needs that a little bit.
They do.
Too.
It's just such a lovely story, and people want to watch stuff where you can cheer someone on and just have a great time.
Need more of it.
Like, well, it's the Ted Lasso effect.
Yeah, man. That's what I was just going to say. It's
absolutely.
Like,
right.
I love
like,
Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
You want your stakes to be the team doesn't respond to the leader,
right?
Or the leader needs to change for the betterment of the team. But that environment is great because rising tide lifts all ships.
Mm-hmm.
And to then throw it into the fact that it's not your standard story. It's not a bunch of troubled white kids or a bunch of troubled black kids or a bunch of troubled Spanish kids. It's a bunch of troubled disabled kids who don't make movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So to create an environment where like to take from the story. That magic you always hear about how the magic of the story infects the crew and those are the really special fucking films. And I think this is going to be one of those films that is gonna, it's gonna get into the ether, and you're gonna be like, yeah, this is what you want to watch, and it makes you feel good.
But and I think it's really weird that it, because Lasso's made and this is made, it's I'm surprised that there's not more. There's not more high positivity.
Well, those studio execs weren't—they didn't become cynic by accident, right?
Like, but it's so fascinating, though. But like, because everyone went through this drudgery,
yes,
for how long?
Yeah,
and we all want to be saved in some way.
Yeah,
and like,
and you want to cheer thing. You want to cheer. Yeah. It's like why people.
I
want to
watch Death and Murder, but I also want to be happy.
Like feel good stories, and where the hero wins, and
in that order too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. Watch The Dark, and then like go to bed with Ted Lasso.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah.
It's no, it, and I mean, yeah, okay, The Ringer was done when The Ringer was done.
Yeah. And it was, no, and, this is not like that at all.
No, and it not in the same vein whatsoever, but it I can't help but be like, man, maybe you shouldn't wait 20 years in between films to do stuff like this.
Agreed.
Like
agreed.
There's obviously something there, and it got a budget, and it's got a story, and it's got heart. So like,
well, it's so much heart, like bursting at the seams, and it's and Bobby Farrelly is just amazing, and I have to say this because it blew my mind, but we did the take and it worked really well, and then he was like, Lauren, you're fucking hilarious. And I was like, Bobby Farrelly just said that. Like, it was, it's like, okay.
Yes.
Like, 10-year-old Lauren high-fiving, 11-year-old Lauren high-fiving, 12-year-old Lauren, like, yeah.
That's affirmation. That's confirmation.
Right.
That's
and
just
like. This is this joy. It's pure, literal pure joy. When you said that, I was like, okay, I floated home, I'm pretty sure.
And he knows what that compliment holds, right?
He
knows
hope he does. Yeah, sure he does. Like, he should.
To make that man laugh.
Yeah.
With what he's made us laugh with.
Yeah, right? So that's why I was just going, okay. And he didn't have to say that. I'm hoping he didn't feel he needed to, but it was just, it was just, he was lovely. And
you didn't get to talk about jizz in the hair?
No. I didn't really feel like the time. I don't have that in my hair, but I do have something else in my hair.
I know, right? But I love that he always, like, he's always has, his casting choices aren't always on the nose. And I do love that. And he kind of seeks it out. Which is lovely too.
He sees that there's a light of something to work with, and then like works it throughout the shooting. And
tons
gets
of
it
people.
On.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean Harrelson, I don't even think he knows he's funny. I think he just is. Mm-hmm. Like Woody Harrelson is something that you don't find that in a lot of actors. Mm-hmm. You can't see him like to go from our fucking idiot bartender to
but I don't know
his, True Detective.
His bartender. Like, how dumb that Woody was.
That's a performance in and of itself.
It's genius.
Yeah.
Genius.
Well, and he was so sweet.
And so dumb.
Yeah.
But he's not that at all.
No.
And then you go take him to, like, what's that, with the one where he's the detective.
True, True Detective.
True Detective. Like, polar, like.
Mm-hmm. Or Natural Born Killers. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or Larry Flint.
Right.
Right? Like, he is a character actor that nobody really saw coming because his welcome, his red carpet to Hollywood is. Dumb bartender that like made $500.
But I would love I would love him to go back to dumb bartender. Just to like, do you know what I mean? Or something dumb. I would love that. Mm-hmm.
Like a
love
biodome
it.
Kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I would love it.
Yeah, I could.
Was he in Biodome?
No. I was just saying like a biodome.
Yeah, like
kind
a
of
biodome.
Thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Okay. All right. Have you seen Surfer Dude?
No.
Then it exists. Surfer Dude is Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Oh, my goodness.
McConaughey plays a sponsored surfer who gets back to Hawaii, and back to California.
I feel like I have seen this.
And finds out that his sponsorship has run out, and he now has to be a reality TV star to keep it. And Woody Harrelson is his lawnmower company owning stoner manager. And it's literally the two of them stoned out of their minds being idiots for an
you
hour
have to,
and a
You
half.
Should have to watch that with True Detective. you should have to watch the two of them.
Like, that sounds like a movie that you would watch completely sober, and by the end of it, feel high.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's amazing.
Like by association.
Be interesting if there's like a chop up like app where it chopped up both movies, and you have to like cut it up, and like you have to watch this segment, and then like you get high as you go or get drunk as you go.
You follow the progression of how high the character is of Woody
right,
at
right?
the time.
Like, there's just like a little meter in
yeah,
the corner.
Yeah. It's like all right, now here, get the bong out, right?
Yeah, man.
No, it's if you want to see him just act like a total, like, he's like, come on, bro, we don't have enough money
Love
in the
it.
Kit.
That's amazing.
Like, that's his role. Because
it's kind of white men can't jump two-ish.
I'd say, I want to say like 18, 19. It was soft. It didn't have a big budget. There wasn't a lot of hype about it. Like, the stuff that they do together outside of their careers always is like, you know, here, I got 20 days. Let's make something stupid. We can get both of them, right? Yeah. And like, they paid for this movie. No, yeah. I don't think a studio would have been like,
right.
And I mean, it's McConaughey being a beautiful, like, he's in board shorts. That's it. Amazing, yeah. He's just in board shorts and he's barefoot the entire time. So he's just, right. like the perfect version of McConaughey.
Did you just say all right?
All right, all right.
All right, all right, all right.
You can't say all right and talk about McConaughey. That's, right. That's not all right.
It is all right.
It's all right.
All right.
You guys do a lot of stuff, but you also like to have a lot of fun in your spare time.
Yeah.
And you got to go and take your child mm-hmm. to the happiest yeah. place on earth. And I... Were you in Florida or were you in California?
California.
Okay, I've gone to Florida, but they're very similar from my understanding. Mm-hmm. I didn't do
I've been
Magic
both.
Kick.
I've
You've been to both? Yeah. Okay. What was it like taking your kid?
Oh, that was like...
Well, we didn't tell her where we were going. Because my friend, comedian Steph Tolov, lives in L.A. So we said we're going to go visit Steph, and she has a dog.
Check out Steph Tolov.
Yeah, Steph Tolov.
She wants people on YouTube, so find Steph Tolov. She's very funny.
Amazing, yeah. She just... opened for Sarah Silverman at Just for Laughs in Vancouver.
Very funny.
And did her own thing. Yeah, she's killer. Amazing. Anyways, she has a dog, and my daughter is obsessed with her dog. So we're like, yeah, we're going to go meet Susan. That's her dog's name. And so we get there, and then we get the shuttle from the airport to our hotel, which is like an hour from LAX. And there wasn't many people on the shuttle, but we weren't telling her yet where we were going. And then as you get into like Disney area, there's like the big banners on all the
Well, there's the big archway.
Yeah,
and, all
and
that
there's
stuff.
Like
yeah.
Mickey and Goofy and Minnie everywhere and all of
the And very sweet people on the bus.
Yeah,
very
and
sweet.
But they were talking, there was like a kid who finally got to have her graduation present because of COVID, and then a lovely lesbian couple having their anniversary, and everyone was just talking about it, and they're like, and I love this, and I love this. And I keep looking at our daughter. And
we're both like being like,
we want to surprise her
we're trying
tomorrow.
To surprise this kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just kind of like side-eyeing everything and looking out the window. And she's four. So she's looking and then she leans over and she goes, Mommy, I think Disneyland is in this town. And I said, oh, yeah. And she goes, do you think maybe we could go there? And you're like, ugh, like your heart's breaking because you're like, I can't be like, no. So because I don't want her to think at all that we would, of course, go to the same town that Disneyland is in. Because
the girl's graduating
go-
wants to do Tower of Terror or whatever. Yeah. Fuck it's called. Yeah, I know it's the Guardians of the Galaxy ride, but.
But yeah, so we're like, okay, fine. So we just grabbed the camera and we filmed it. And we're like, yeah, we're going to Disneyland. She's like, oh, really? And she's just like.
They felt so really bad.
They did.
They
were like,
really
she didn't
bad.
Know.
Oh, she didn't know. Oh. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a child that's not amped up on this bus.
Yeah.
No, she didn't know.
That
didn't
you would know. Have you would have had to have gone on the bus. Camouflaged everybody, tell them to sign fucking gag orders, don't talk, this bus is... And then she would have been like, why is nobody talking, Mommy?
Well, and I didn't know that the shuttle would be that, like, intimate. So, like, I thought it would be a bigger bus.
Yeah,
sure.
It was literally
like one of those,
just
like,
a
limo
van.
Buses, but,
yeah.
Like, but with just regular seats in it, like that
Like
size.
A bachelorette party bus.
Yeah, that size, but not
no
that
pole.
Fun. No pole.
No pole, but the lights. It had the lights.
Yeah, it had the lights, it did. No mirrors. But
so
yeah.
Where did you... And you gave the full
yeah, we
meal deal?
Everything.
Yeah.
It was great.
And
that
then the next
so
morning,
fun.
We both woke up really early and we were like ready to go. And she was sleeping in and we're like, okay, let's get up. Like, we're going to Disneyland. She's like, what? It's like, the kid is up at 5 every single day except this one day she wants to sleep in. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
But we did the Goofy breakfast the first day. And she got
Goofy
to-
breakfast.
Oh, you did some of the theme stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, she loves meeting, like, she is more interested in the characters.
Yeah.
And so,
like, her favorite is Princess Tiana from Princess
that was
and the Frog.
Really? She likes a deep cut.
Yeah. She does. Okay. That's her favorite. That and Jasmine and...
Mulan.
Mulan.
Yeah. So she likes two legacies and a newbie. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, but we got to meet Princess Tiana on the riverboat.
Oh, yeah. But it wasn't like we just went and met. This was like 3 days of
Aaron
dad researching.
Talking. Yeah.
And like talking
did
to everyone.
Reconnaissance.
Be like, okay, you gotta help me out. Like,
where are
we
going to
see
Princess Tiana?
We went and lined up for those princesses. Twice.
Yeah.
Because there's two different parks.
And you thought your child would be like 4 hours later and still be fine?
Oh,
wow.
Dude.
Those lineups are... I can't... I'm 40 and I can't do a
fucking
lineup.
Oh, but with the Genie Pass now?
Mm. Okay.
It's a little bit different.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we did the Genie Pass. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like... I turned into like, okay, if we're going to do this... Like, I'm spending this money.
He got a bit obsessive in a good way. Like, it benefited all of
us. Dude, I probably spent as much money as you did, and I don't have kids. I know exactly what you're
like,
talking about.
Like, I paid
about.
For Like, if you could pay for a ride, I just paid for it. Because I was like, I'm not standing in line. And that is her favorite ride.
Yeah, the Star Wars.
Yeah, the
Rise of the Resistance.
Rise of the Resistance.
You got her on the.
Yeah
man.
Okay, so.
Okay, we took her on a roller coaster, making sure she was okay. And she's like, she loved it.
Yeah.
So we started with the light
Do they have
rides.
The Hulk at that one?
No. No, they did. He was in at the very back, and he was like cordoned off. And I have a hilarious photo of her, and she's standing in front. He's in like a space suit, thinking, yeah, and
yeah.
She's just, and it's a picture. And right before I took the picture, she's standing. She's like, "That's the Hulk back there." Okay, let's go.
Four.
That's the Hulk back there. Let's go.
Check the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
That's adorable. Yeah. I when we went, we just went for Hollywood Disney, okay. So we just did Star Wars Land.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't interested in doing Magic Kingdom or any stuff. Like, it's not my jam, but I did want to like go ape shit in Universal and then just have money to enjoy the trip. But we did the Cantina experience.
Yes, yeah, we did that too.
And then
I didn't even have to sign up for that though.
If you look right there, sir, that is the lightsaber.
Oh, the $200 lightsaber.
Yeah,
we made
American.
The kid version.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We talked about it.
But I was like, I can't. You need to see it in person.
Oh, dude.
No, it's
but
great.
It. I watched two kids after their dad spent $200 each, and they were broken within a matter of minutes.
My.
They started together, and they were like outside playing. And I was like, no, it's a fucking decorative, man. Like, what are you doing? And yeah, broke them in half.
Yeah, we made the kid-friendly one that
retractable.
But
she
made it. She picked all the pieces herself.
Yeah,
what did she get to do on the Rise of the Resistance? What was her card that they gave her? Like, was she driving? Was she cargo? I got cargo.
Oh, what did we get?
Oh, no, she pilot once, and then we went
that
again.
That was on Smuggler's Run.
Yeah.
That was on the Millennium Falcon.
Yep, yeah. And oh, then, Rise of the Resistance is the new one.
Yeah.
The new one, yeah.
The 18-minute ride, right?
Yeah. Oh, did you do it?
She was so into
it. It was... just finished when I went, but not open yet.
Oh,
like I was 20 some odd days off.
Oh, you need to go back.
Dude.
I know.
That ride, okay.
Well, they've got the animatronics in it, right? They've got
You don't even know.
No,
it is a experience. Like it's like.
Is it Westworldy? But like
yeah,
Star Wars?
Kinda,
yeah.
It's like, okay, the only way I can explain it is like, it's like good dinner theater. Like, because you're walking into it, and it's like you're in it. Like, you know the black shiny floor with the stormtroopers.
Did they really make the?
Yep.
Like,
and you walk into it.
Yep.
And you're like,
and they question
holy
you.
Holy shit! It's like it's fully interactive.
DK41, do you copy?
Yeah. Yeah. Not even joking. So there's three rides within it, basically.
Yeah.
It's insane. I've heard.
It's my like.
Okay, I was in the middle. Aaron was on one side of me, and our daughter was on the other side. And at one point, I don't want to spoil what's happening in it because it'll blow your mind out of your ears and eyeballs. Like, it's amazing.
It'll blow your mouth out of your ass.
Yes. And at one point, we're looking around, and I'm like, this is amazing. And I look at my daughter, and her eyes are like saucers, just like, this is amazing. And I look at Aaron, and all of a sudden, Aaron is 4 years old, so I'm between two four-year-olds. Like, why? Like, it was, I can't even describe it. It was so cool. Like,
so they built the set.
Yeah.
No,
like,
dude.
So much more. Like, it's.
Like, you don't. Like, I don't know. I don't want to. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
Because if you explain it, you would take away
how much
any
fun
of
it is. Yeah.
Like, it's a full experience.
And you think it's done, and then there's something else.
Like, if
you
dressed
done,
up and went to Star Wars, I would be like, okay, yeah, do it.
I got the Stormtrooper outfit upstairs.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Foam, not plastic.
I would say dress as a rebellion.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But, like, if you're going to go, like.
Rise of the Resistance makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. But if you're going to go, if you dressed up, I would not judge you. Because sometimes, like, I get a little bit, like,
all right.
The comedian cynical, like, oh, yeah, you want to go to Comic-Con, see all your fat, same famous fat.
You want to see fat versions of the same costume?
right. So it's like, but like, honestly, I wouldn't.
I didn't know Boba Fett was Spanish. or 400 pounds. Yeah. Or 12.
Yeah, but if anyone dressed up for that, I would be like, you're on you, buddy. Like, go get them.
Yeah.
It is the best.
Yeah. Was, like, when we got there. We got in Disney Hollywood Studios, and obviously it's like the walkway and all that shit. And Marvel's like in the back of it, which was just starting. Like it really wasn't that. Like they hadn't built the university. I think is almost built now on that campus in Florida, but it was very minimal to what was there for Marvel. But the Star Wars stuff in Florida, we agreed we would not do fast passes. We would ride alone.
Oh, yeah.
We would experience together, but we would be, like, back in front of ride. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter that we weren't sitting together.
Yeah, that's
we
fair.
Just got off together and went, that was so fucking awesome, right?
Right,
and
right.
We got on rides within 5 to 15 minutes.
Yeah.
No fast pass needed. But
there's also a trick for if you are a parent, you can do a swap ride.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So both parents can go. They sit. One parent sits with a child. Oh. One parent goes, and the other one can switch and go
then they,
immediately.
Yeah, when you get off, we can switch. And then you'll lose
your
gun
right away.
Yeah.
Like right in, right away.
But a lot of people don't know that because they go with little kids and they're like, well, someone has to watch them.
Man, the service there, I tell you, I was in hospitality for a long time. I've had some amazing service in restaurants and entertainment and whatnot. We walked up to the line and the single line was closed for Smuggler's Run. And I went deep into character and dropped the lip and started to quiver and looked over at the lady and I was like, when will it open? And she said, we don't know. It could be 5 hours. It could be not for the rest of the day. We just don't know. And I was like, okay. And then I look and I see that fucking sign with 3.5 hours on it. Lineup starts right here. And I was like, can I just sit here and wait? And she's like, yeah, totally. She looks over her shoulder a couple times and waits a couple minutes. And she's like, is it just you? I said, me and my wife. She said, get the fuck on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Their
did
job.
Did she say fuck too?
Yeah, she did.
Get out of here.
That's
just
awesome.
Get the fuck on.
Awesome.
I walked by her and I gave her a giant hug. I said, this is all I have ever wanted. Like everything else I'm booked for, I've paid for. I said, I just wanted to get. And she's like, just go. So she put us right through the fast pass line. We got on. And then I almost kicked a child because he Bogarted my pilot pass and I got cargo. It was fucking fine.
Yeah.
And Sean is like, calm down. But walking on that thing, you feel
right?
Like I wanted to sit down
were
and play
doing the genie passes though.
No, we didn't.
They were single riders.
We were single riders.
Yeah,
who just got that ride access
in
3 minutes of walking up.
Because there's
a
trick to the genie pass. Sorry, no one's
do it.
I'm so obsessed. I'm obsessed about this.
You go down a rabbit hole of how to negotiate the park.
So what it is if you get the genie pass, you try and find the rides that are closed, and you go to them because you get a free walk on anything.
Yep.
Walk on anything.
Oh, there's always a system.
And that happened to us. We had a free walk on, and our daughter wanted to go on, I don't know, the Finding Nemo submarine thing, and we were like, okay, yeah, whatever, but it's a long, and we had a free one, and we told the gal and we're like, where's this thing for the free run? She goes, oh, you got a free ride? We're like, yeah. She goes, you want to use it on this run? And we're like, well, yeah, our daughter really wants to go on like it. And she was like, but you want to use a free pass? Like, you can go on anything. You know that, right? And we were like, yeah. And she's
just go on.
And we didn't have to use our free ride. And so she let us go on. And it was,
they are charged with not sharing information on how to abuse the system, but to in micro moments do whatever
make
it takes
day the best day ever.
Well, so, I literally got her name up and I went on and they're like, is there an ambassador or whatever the word is they use who went above and beyond? And I like wrote, I never do that, and I was like, yep, she did, she was amazing. And
that sword stopped working because I didn't realize it drains batteries in an afternoon. It's wired very badly, but it stopped working.
Didn't you wire it though? You made it.
No, I put a shell fuck off. Put a shell around a battery casing is what
fair.
I did.
That's fair.
But for 14 minutes, I felt like a smuggler who, like, I was by far 20 years older than everybody in there, easily. Shauna has video of me crying and, like, lifting it up. Like, I don't care who you are. You were broken by Disney as a human. However hard your spirit is, Disney will crush you and make you the happiest kid on the planet.
Agreed.
And we did 2 days there. Then we did Universal.
Yeah,
right up the street. And that was, here's my trick. I don't know if it works for everybody, but you go to the back of the park at the beginning of the day and work your way forward because everybody instinctively wants to get on rides they see open.
Right.
They don't realize that the open rides are just at the back of the park as much too. So we walked on to
Jurassic Park.
At
the back of the park, is there the Back to the Future ride?
They got rid of it.
I know they did.
Yeah.
I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah, I know.
It's my favorite fucking ride ever.
I know. We went on that when we were, 2009?
No, we have.
They
just have
the car there now. They don't even have.
No, we haven't to go.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no,
it was really great. Sorry, you didn't get to go on it.
How great was it?
It was
the
really,
best.
Really great.
It's probably the best ride ever.
I saw the death of the Indiana Jones one in Disney Hollywood Studios. Like, it was the last run of that. Boulder thing.
Well, when we were
that's
in
where
Disneyland,
we do the parent pass.
I went on it because when the first time I went to Disneyland, I was 17, and it was like a family thing. It was kind of like the last trip my grandparents could go on because my grandmother her health was failing. So we went on a big family trip, and my sister and I made fun of my grandpa because we went on the Indiana Jones ride and we were like, well, on that boulder. And he's like, what? I didn't see it. And we're like, grandpa, like it was right there. And he's like, no, I didn't see it. And so we were, and I don't know if he was messing with us. He wasn't the kind of guy to do that. But we went on a second time and my sister and I were like, look right there. And he's like, oh yeah. Oh, that's what you were talking about. Like he just like really downplayed it. And I don't know if he was messing with us or whatever, but it always makes us giggle because we're like, he was just a funny guy. And then
it's the whole bit,
yeah,
Gramps.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then
without
so
the boulder, we don't have anything.
Yeah. So then we went with when Aaron and I and our daughter went, and then the same thing, we did the parent switch thing. So Aaron's like, you go first. This is important to you. So I went on, and I'm by myself. It took me like 10 minutes to get on. And then we're going, and I can tell something's wrong. Like the ride's just being kind of jerky, and the audio of like some of the story part isn't really syncing up.
It's
properly.
Distorted.
Yeah, and you're
the
going,
park's coming alive.
This is weird. And so and then it's fine for a bit, and all of a sudden we come around where the boulder is, and there's no boulder. And I literally was like, "All right, Grandpa, like he's been gone for like 12 years, but he would have found that very funny," and it made me laugh.
Then oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you hear this like, ladies and gentlemen, the ride's going to be... So then we get off. I get off like 10 feet
no,
from
no.
where you're supposed to.
Can I take
to
over for this?
Sure. Aaron had a different experience.
Totally different experience.
Time.
So so they close the ride. They're like, emergency people are coming into the ride. Not
I don't
lie.
Know this.
These are
I,
words
doctors,
you do not want to hear.
Right. Yeah. Doctors are coming. Like,
especially at
a
Disney,
gurney,
they don't show that very
a
often.
Gurney's coming in, right? Yeah. I'm standing with my 4-year-old daughter. Everyone's coming off. They meet their loved ones, and there's a huddle of people just waiting for the loved ones. They're gone. No one else is there. It's just me and this Hispanic lady, and I'm sitting with my daughter, and we move into the ride because we're waiting for their mom or her mom, and she's waiting for her family, and she's like, I don't know what happened. He's like, I don't know what happened either, and we're like, they bring in the gurney, and we're like, what happened? And I'm like, I'm a single dad now? What's going on? Like, where is my wife? I start like, and I, this is where I started tearing up at Disney. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, I'm literally tearing up because it wasn't like minutes. It was like half hour waiting for this.
You're fine.
I'm fine, but I got off. I was the last ride before they closed it, and we were way back deep in the catacombs of the ride.
So all he sees is the gurney go in, mm-hmm.
And all these people coming out.
But not me.
And not Emmy.
That's
not Lauren.
The exact scene in the airport when the person you're waiting for mm-hmm. decides to not get on the plane or dies.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's real life fucking
right.
Shit. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And so I'm like, oh. And that was the first day?
I think it was the first
day.
Oh, what a kickoff.
I was so like.
But then I was like, why would you be mad? Like, you would have been set for life, you guys. Like, you guys would have been taken very well
Disney
care.
Money. She did say that.
Like, Disney money. I mean, there's two. Sorry, we Indiana Jones drive.
You can be.
That boulder did exist.
Yeah, the boulder did exist. It landed on Lauren. Jokes on her, but.
Yeah, I mean, Dax Shepard knows all about that Disney money, but he's married into it. You don't.
What?
Yeah,
Kristen Bell is
I knew that.
Yeah.
But that's a different kind of.
That's what I'm saying is that the Disney money you're getting might not be as happy ever after. Nonetheless.
I want this money and a park.
But then he was joking. If you died at Disney, do you think we would ever come back here? I was like, oh, that's fair. Because I was like, you guys would get in for free forever.
Oh,
and he's like,
lifetime access.
He's like, we would never come back here if
we
you died.
We'd never come back here.
Fair.
Or we'd come back every year. Memorialize your death at Indiana Jones.
A little bit of ashes each time.
That's what you have to play at my funeral.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Bring her in.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to downplay it because my daughter's 4, right? And so like but I'm tearing up. Yeah. And I'm like, anyway.
But all it was a man who had heat exhaustion. That's all it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And not that that's not a bad thing. It's serious.
It was an older man.
He was okay.
Sure.
He was okay.
Yeah.
I saw him walking later.
I was like, what was happening? Because she came out. I was like, what happened? What's going on? Give me the DL.
But how fast was the gurney there? Like, how fast was this process?
It took a little while because they were like, get everyone away from the ride. So
like
I snuck in.
The serpentine lineup, everything was gone.
So they're like, get everyone off of
the
ride. The
serpentine lineup.
You know what I mean?
Well, when more crew come.
Game of Snake.
That's
when
what they do. They more
when more crew come from Disney and there's more and more crew
and
come
then,
like, to
manager
like get people.
People
out.
Yeah, when that happens.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, like Banksy did a whole art piece in Disney and shut down the park.
What?
He brought in a Guantanamo Bay terrorist dummy and dropped it in the park, and that was his art. And they snuck into like a kid's ride, and then like he put a camera there, and you slowly watch throughout the documentary that like the ride starts to slow down, and then you hear the PA system, and they're like blah 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 and blah 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 park area.
Wow.
And then they come over and they see, and there's a dummy of a Guantanamo Bay terrorist in the happiest place on earth.
Oh my God!
That was his art installation.
That's wow,
brilliant!
Yeah.
But
it's
also
it's inside Exit at the Gift Shop.
It is. I have to watch that again.
How did he get it in there?
They snuck it in inside of a backpack and pieces.
It would have been in pieces. Yeah, it would have.
Yeah.
And then they assembled it when nobody was looking, and they were all masked up, and then they jumped the
Marvel assemble,
right? Glorious purpose.
Wow.
So Disney's had the Disney, they've got the 100 Club or something, which is like the VIP of VIPs of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where like you're Tom Brady and you book Disney out for the day, you get access to that restaurant. It's like Walt's personal, you know,
I heard there's
getaway.
A suite in the castle that's only for that.
Really?
Like like an actual hotel,
in the actual castle
suite, like in the main park.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you can have a sleepover in there.
And then they have, like, I remember.
I don't want to be that rich, to be honest.
Either.
No, I don't want to be able to shut down Disney rich. You know what I want? I want to be able to get in Disney back doors.
Sure.
The park, I mean.
Yeah.
But.
Back to
I don't want to backdoor Disney.
I don't know if Walt is that much of a human anymore. He's
want to backdoor the happiest place on earth.
Okay. Not Walt.
Not Walt.
Okay.
The park itself. No. But I want to be able to, like, open up, like, the secret back door and with the garage door opener and drive into Disney and, you know, just hang out. That would be rich enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, talk to the animators.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, be an Imagineer on the weekends
kind
of thing.
That would be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was deadly. And the fact that my daughter left loving Star Wars. Like, she left loving
Star
Wars.
Well, we have a picture of her with a tiara on and a Star Wars sweater holding her lightsaber.
In front of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Like, and pink, bright pink shorts, and like,
yeah, she's a fangirl.
Yeah, but she was having a great time.
Yeah,
and she was like, "I like those churros."
She really liked the.
She's never had a churro, and she's like, "Can we have one of those every day, Mom?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, let's do it."
No turkey legs.
No,
I hate them.
No,
tastes like pork.
Why
your turkey taste like pork? Get out of here! Disgusting.
Well,
pink poultry. Ugh.
When you realize that Disney is like one of the first like producers of the animatronic. I wonder how far outside of that world now, like, are they making turkey flavor or ham flavored turkey?
That's gross.
Right?
It's
gross. Because, like, I mean, dark meat is dark meat, but that does, like, I tried some.
It's gross.
It's gross.
I had a Duff beer, and that ruined my whole Simpsons ride. I got really dizzy after. Because that one 4D experience, I couldn't understand how we didn't move and we went everywhere.
Right.
Like, it just melted my fucking brain. But taking that beer beforehand was a bad idea. And the turkey leg. I saw the Blues Brothers ripoff performance that Shauna had to dance with Jake Elwood. I got a video of it. He's like, "Come on, lady," and I was like, "You're on your own. I am not. This is your happy day." But we talked earlier. You got to meet Phil Tippett.
Got to meet
while
Phil
you
Tippett.
Were there. Like, did you go?
Not at Disney.
No. Yeah,
that was in Burbank.
Yeah.
At Monsterpalooza.
Son of
Monsterpalooza. So there's a Monsterpalooza and a Son of Monsterpalooza every year. Son of Monsterpalooza is in the summer.
Yeah, because we did 4 days at Disney, and then we went to Burbank for four.
Yeah.
How long is the convention?
Three days.
Yeah.
And it's at where?
It was at
Studio
Hotel?
City, Burbank, right?
Yeah, it was right near the Burbank Airport.
Yeah.
It's a convention center attached to a hotel.
The Bob
I
Hope
remember.
Airport, I believe it's called. Or is it now not Bob Hope and
it's
just Burbank?
I think it
Burbank,
is still, yeah.
So it was like, oh, I saw some amazing things. Got like walking around and being like, oh, there's Bill Kerso, and there's V. Neil, and they're like, do you know what I mean? Like makeup heroes. Like
seeing prosthetics
applied.
From some of the gods.
Yeah, like
doing
seeing,
their thing.
Seeing V. Neil apply the Beetlejuice makeup was deadly. Like, where are you ever going to see that again?
No. Mm-hmm.
And so just
and for you.
And to get to chat with her.
Yeah.
And to chat, like, oh, I met some really just awesome people. I saw them talk about Chucky, like the series.
Oh, nice.
So they were all there talking about
really?
Chucky series. Yeah. I went in there early because I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go in early and then I'm going to go to the Tippett. Tippett was right after. So I sat in there for a bit and then I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm going to get fucked and they're going to clear out the whole thing for the Tippett thing. And I was like, oh, this is sneaky deaky will work. But I'm going to be true to be honest and like go out and wait in line. Lauren didn't know any of this, but... So I went and I started the line. I made sure the line happened. Like I was like,
hey man,
I'm going to fan out. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to be first in line and I'm starting this line. So I stood in line. I was like, no, this is the line. And then people were like, no, that's not a line. I was like, no, this is the line here. This is the line. This is the line here. And so by the end of it, there was a full line through the whole thing.
That's impressive. That's like starting a wave.
Yeah.
Very
I was like,
Canadian
no, I'm not.
No kidding.
I'm not. I'm starting a line. That's it. I'm not missing out on this. And I sat front and center.
That's what you want. I mean, that's what a fan does. They start the line. Yeah.
So, and then I bought the book already because I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this book before I have to deal with a line. So I bought the book.
The line drew so, like, the line controlled you.
Oh.
Everything was about the line.
I used to be, like, carefree
like an episode
and, like,
of Seinfeld.
Not give a shit. Like, I used to not give a shit about anything. And as I get older, I'm like, no, I give a shit. Like, I give a shit now.
You see value in what you're
caring.
Doing and
yeah.
caring, and you're a fan. So yeah. you're like, I'm not gonna be drunk at this concert no. like I was no. when I was 20, right?
Right.
I want to remember
90.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember this. Yeah.
So sitting front center, he does his thing, and then I'm like, okay, I didn't ask any questions because I'm like, oh, whatever. I don't want to be that guy.
And well,
like,
he's a grumpy question? Gus too. Like
he is. There's a caveat.
Is there
that,
a
though.
Soft side to?
Oh. 100%. It's a mask for sure.
Okay.
A well-deserved mask. But
well, yeah. I mean, he watched his career burn overnight.
Yeah, and all these nerds talking about shit you did 20 fucking years ago. I'm like, that's not really what I'm into anymore. Do we not?
Yeah.
Can we not?
I've adapted.
Yeah. 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 Can you?
I'm more than
yeah.
just
Can
that.
I not talk about tauntauns right now? Can
yeah.
we move on?
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck. Smells bad on the outside.
Right? Like, I didn't want to be that guy. So I was like, I'm not talking about any of this. Because when he was talking, he was like, don't talk about Star Wars. Like, on stage.
I love it.
I'm not talking about Star Wars. Don't ask Star Wars questions.
But, okay, you know what, though? When you want to, I've learned this because I'm practicing trying to get to a day where I maybe do sit in front of somebody who I'm very impressed by. And I mean, I already have. Like, I got to interview Kevin Smith for Skip the Dishes.
Wow,
right.
Awesome.
Right.
Right. I've had my proof that I can do it,
right?
And I sweated a fucking ton.
Yeah, dude.
I had to lock it in and be like, "Don't
but
be that
But he's the most
guy.
Chill dude.
But he is. He
he's
is.
The most chill out yeah. of most Hollywood.
Well,
people.
And Skip gave me like five of my own that I could do whatever I wanted with that didn't have to tie into what right. they were doing. So right. like, I got to ask like
legitimate questions.
Let's talk about Moose Jaws.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right,
right.
Like,
right.
That's not Skip related. Right. So, but I realized in that moment that. I have all of these things that you've made me happy over
yeah.
that you're now beyond.
Right.
Right. You did them,
mm-hmm. right.
but they live in infamy and perpetuity for me.
Right.
So if I want to talk to you, I have to be more open to you as a person mm-hmm. and not you as an idea of me, what I have.
Yeah.
Right.
My vision of you.
Back to Phil Tippett, yeah. you yeah. know that you're like, I want to talk to you, but I want to talk mm-hmm. to you about what you like. Like, let's talk.
Yeah.
Instead of me talk at you and you impress me.
Right.
All over.
Well,
again.
I had a really cool experience. So I stand in line to get the autograph of the book, and people are asking, and I didn't really want anyone else's autograph, to be honest, on the
sure.
book, but I got it, because I didn't want, I'm Canadian.
Sorry.
Sorry. Can I have your autograph? Sorry.
Yeah. So they all sign, and then I get a tip, and I was like, okay, yeah, I started my own studio, do you have any things? He's like, I hope you love your work. He's like, perfect, that's what I got. I'm like, good, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm good to go. Went and did another round, talked to got to see Howard Berger, got to, like, do you know what I mean? Like, got to see some fucking names and just say hi.
Yeah.
Like, met some other cool cats that have started, like, a group that started Force Seal that makes eyeballs. Anyway, talk to them.
It's your world.
It's my world. It's what I do outside of acting. So I was like, cool, great. I'm going to go home, call my wife. Can you come pick me up?
I was in the middle of my Target tour what? Of
of Burbank.
Target.
Yeah, all the Targets that I could get to in the time he was there.
So I'm sitting there and I'm just waiting. And then, I sit down in like kind of near the smoke area, and Tippett just comes and sits next to me. And I'm like,
oh my God.
And I'm just waiting for my wife, and I'm like, oh, hey, how you doing, man? And he's like, oh, yeah, it was a great talk. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, we're actually opening up a studio in Canada, in Toronto. I was like, that's really cool. Like, I wish I did graphic stuff. I'm more of the practical, but I like, that's great for you.
Yeah.
And then he just, shot the shit. Like, just let him be a human
being. You talk
being.
To him.
Yeah, like literally had a conversation while he had a smoke. And I was like, can I take a photo? And I'm like, and he's like, yeah. I was like, and I'm like, I'm going to do grumpy faces. Like, that's all I do. Like, this is what he said. And I was like, yeah, great. Because I took a picture with Pauly Shore and he looks grumpy. So I'm like, from now on, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be grumpy. With any celebrity, I'm just going to look like unhappy. And hope the celebrity looks happy. And I'm like, whatever. I guess I'll take this photo. So he did a grumpy face. I did a grumpy face. He's like, yeah, that's all I do. And then he's like, and then he told me a story about Clint Eastwood and how he only had two faces. Clint, it's with a hat and without a hat, I guess. Like,
yeah.
So, and it was just really cool. Like a really nice moment. And like, let him get on with his day. I got on with mine. It was just like,
and that's
amazing.
That's more beneficial for both parties.
Yeah.
Because you're like, hey, I'm just, you know what? The Tippett walks away and goes, that guy thinks I'm a human. He doesn't think I'm fucking Tippett.
Right.
Right. And I really think as much as the TV distorts shit, at the end of the day, when you realize you're like, hey, I'm in this, you're in this, we both share that, we have some common ground, don't be an idiot. You can talk to a lot of different people.
Yeah, man.
And
yeah, and I don't get starstruck very often. There's only a handful of people that I think I would be starstruck by.
I think I'm at that point where I'm like, I'm just surprised that we're having this interaction.
Sure.
I'm not starstruck by you. I'm like, okay, fine. You do what you do. And, you're not curing cancer. So I really am not out of my league.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of what you do. Talk about what I'm a fan of. Easy. Done. But I'm just like, really? This is like to be present is what I wasn't present for Smith. I still, when I watch it, I'm like,
okay.
I did that?
You can have a few of those people where you're like, I have disconnected.
Oh, Eddie Murphy. If I ever got Eddie Murphy, I'd be like, I don't know what to say.
Fuck you too.
But then there's people who you don't realize you're a fan of, and then you see them, and then you're like I one time held the door at the bank in Toronto for Isabella Rossellini, and I didn't know it was her. I just was like coming out, and then I saw her, and she was like, oh, thank you. And she walked by, and I was like, Isabella. And I don't know why that came out, and I don't really know a ton of her work. I know she's amazing, but I can't like in the moment I wasn't like my favorite. Like, no disrespect to her, she's fantastic, but it was just one of those things where you're like, I'm surprised that I was so surprised to see you. Like, it's weird.
I was outside of Empire and needed a light, and my back was facing somebody, and I said, I need a light for a smoke, and I heard someone behind me say, here, and I turned over and they did this, and I grabbed it and I lit my smoke, and then when I turned around and gave it back to them, it was Bill Paxton.
Oh, wow.
I had like a 5-minute like, Winnipeg's awesome, lots of art here, you guys aren't pretentious assholes, and I was like, you died in Terminator, Predator, and Aliens,
right?
I was like, dude, you've died in the most amazing ways in the most amazing series, I was more shocked, and until after, I was like, it didn't register until
and
after.
And you had a good in, right? Because he made the in.
Exactly. It wasn't a,
same
can
with
I,
Tippett, right?
Can I, whenever you go up to them, it's like, can I have some of your, that I'm in love with?
Yeah.
You just had a smoke with a dude. Happened to be a dude that you really appreciate.
And I don't smoke, and I was just like, I'll eat this smoke. I'll eat it.
Cancer for Tippett.
He would have chewed a cigarette to chat with.
Yeah, man. That was really cool.
I also regret that we're approaching the end. I'm going to Activate after this.
Oh, are you?
First time.
That's fun.
First time.
I've never been. Lauren's been.
It's very fun.
I have a torn Achilles. I tore my Achilles.
Ouch.
Years ago.
Perfect for Activate.
Yeah. But that's, I haven't. Honestly, I did that pre-COVID. I haven't done any sort of rehab. Like, it rehabbed on its own. I did it in Las Vegas under hypnosis.
What?
As part of a comedy show.
Tore your Achilles that way?
I tore my Achilles.
Did you sign a thing?
I bought a ticket that said I signed a thing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I looked into it.
Did you?
I looked at the back of the ticket and was like, oh, this ticket says
Did it cover the sorry. We can talk about this off air.
It covered my free ticket when I went back the following year to Vegas. Mm. They were like, we remember you. Here's a free pass. So whatever. But no, I was under hypnosis, and every time Irish music played, I would do
a jig.
I had to jig. Exactly. You've seen this bit. I jig, never. So I jig off the couch, and I jig right through my Achilles tendon in the middle of the performance. I come out of hypnosis thinking my leg has been chopped shorter. I think that's the bit, because that's what it feels like. It feels like this leg is shorter than this leg.
Oh, my God.
And
kind
he's
of
like,
technically would have been.
It would have been because it was less taut.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was my Achilles had snapped. I argued with him about what he was doing to me. He realized I fell out of the bit, pulled me off stage, was like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm fine. I think I just pulled a calf muscle. Did another 18 hours in Vegas, walked the strip, went to the Heart Attack Grill the next day, got paddled in the ass, bent over a table because I didn't finish my meal, flew home. 2 weeks later, still hadn't healed, went to a doctor, misdiagnosed at an unnamed clinic in Winnipeg because I don't have insurance for the show. And... then found out a month after that at a Amazinger clinic who I can definitely tell you at Legacy.
Okay.
They diagnosed me as a 98% tear, and the only thing that was hanging on was scar tissue.
Ugh.
And I had done it under hypnosis, so I wasn't aware of the action.
Right.
And I couldn't diagnose the problem. So the pain that's the pain that's associated with doing that and the actions I associated with a shorter leg. So I always felt shorter after I fucked up my Achilles tendon.
Ouch.
And walked with a shorter limp.
So what happens when you hear Irish jigs now?
I have PTSD.
Do you?
No.
Not I'm just fine. Wondering, curious.
No, I'm fine. But it did happen, and Shauna was like, stay on stage, you're fine. Like, there's, she was trying to take video of it. She's like, this is the funniest. I took my shirt off. I was cuddling with a 70-year-old from Arizona because we were cold. Like, Shauna was I was drunk as fuck going up there, and when it happened, I was still drunk. Like, I was drunken under hypnosis and didn't realize I'd done a thing. And then,
I find it fascinating the people that do, like, my best friend is the same. Like,
I'm very susceptible.
I'm not.
There's a very small percentage of us. I don't think it's a compliment. You're susceptible to manipulation, right? But it's being able to relax your mind to the point where someone else can slide in there and soft suggest. There is no 100% zombie control.
But there's also got to be, like, the... existent, like the person who's willing to be like, I'm gonna just do this shit.
Yeah,
you have to have that part of you too.
You have to be an eager participant for sure. I'll tell you more about another time.
Yeah, please.
Anyways, thank you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You're very come back anytime.
Yeah, man, I'd love it. I love it.
Yeah, this is the coolest room in Winnipeg to talk about film. In my opinion,
it's nice to actually be here in person.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very nice to be in the same room finally. Because I built this and then barely got to use it for a really long time.
Yeah,
was in here, but like nobody was in here, and I'm like, this is fucking stupid. Yeah. Thank you, listener, for tuning into another episode. If this is your first time, like, follow, subscribe, whatever it is that lets you show up in your podcast player repeatedly. Fucking hit that button right now. And then,
so do some research of your own, please. And really figure that out.
Make it work.
Yeah, Google it. And and whatever it says, do it. And then we'll always show up in your podcast player each and every week. And then follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We do shorts on YouTube. That's what these will be.
Nice.
These will be mishmashed clips. Nice. So you'll be edited.
Yay.
There we go. That's all we asked for.
In a very good light, you'll be edited.
Yeah, make sure. Yeah, go with legal. Make sure.
Yeah. We'll check. We'll check in with the earlier stuff before we go full cut.
Yeah.
But follow Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to stay in the know when shit like this is happening, when episodes are coming out, so on and so forth. It's Real Debaters Pod, REEL for the spelling, and Real Debaters Podcast on Facebook. And the Real Debaters YouTube, Real Debaters Shorts, I believe. It's in the fucking link in bio, kids. Don't make me do this. I'm hungry.
I got to activate.
The worst part. I got to go to activate now. I got to have a snack before I go because I'm going to fucking pass out in the middle of it. Again, my guests have been Aaron Murky and Lauren Cochran, the comedy couple.
Yay.
The actors, thank the makers,
you.
The creators.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Anytime. And you're going to give me all your stuff that... you want me to have in like the business stuff.
Check out
and
stuff.
All that stuff so that people can continuously check out stuff when they trip over this episode.
Insta.
Lauren's just Insta, right?
I'm Instagram. I'm Instagram.
And you're Insta and YouTube.
I'm Insta, YouTube, and then my website. I'm starting.
InstaYouTube.com.
Yeah.
I bet you someone bought that.
Probably. Yeah. InstaYouTube.com.
I did. I bought InstagramComedy.com.
And how much was it?
$10. And then Instagram came after me.
Really?
Yeah.
How much did they pay you?
Nothing. They were like, you have to release it. The legal team came after me, so I was like, fuck it, I'm out. Peace. I relinquish.
That's interesting. Here, there's proof. I've signed it away. Leave me alone. I canceled my account. Watch all the movies, kids, and say bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Ladies.